If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
We're going to find the chick that threw up.
She's sick! She threw up!
Where is she? Hold on. Is she still in there?
Yeah, the door's locked.
Am I standing? We're standing in it!
Okay, remember that time lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying, and it's, like, hard, you know, to, like, wake up every day and know that, like, there are bad things happening, and this bird was just, like, a symbol of that.
It's 5:30 in the morning. What the hell are you doing?
And then funk breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
Bean, seriously? No one cares. No one cares.
And now.
So I got that going, which is nice.
Our feature presentation.
Why does Lightning like to yell so much?
I don't know, but God, he does. A mic or a bullhorn, he can't stop screaming.
I know. And who needs a mic or a bullhorn less than him? He's loud already.
I know.
He needs to shut the F up.
I mean, there's two sides to that story, and that's that Bean and I don't like to be, the Flava Flav hype man. We're not right. exactly, we don't like to get up on stage and get people all excited and all that crap. So we're glad he's there to do it. He loves doing it, so fantastic. We don't have to. But, wow, can't he just turn it down a notch?
You'd think.
It's just like, oh, we're standing in it!
check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check. Lightning? Check, 1, 2. We're check, on. 1, 2, check. Hello, hey,
we're
sounds great.
On, Lightning. Lightning.
Check, 1, 2, check. Hello, 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 check, 1, 2. Hey, here we go. Check, 1, 2, hey.
It's fine.
There we go. There we go. All right. Good sound.
Okay. That's good. Jeez.
All right. Stop that. That's just ridiculous. Right. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
He's the best.
He's one in a million. I'll tell you that.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
Oh, Nelly. Yep. I mean, would it ever occur to you to say that in any circumstance ever?
Nope.
Hey, ladies and gents, way in the back of the house, come on over here. It's me, Lightning, from the world famous K-Rock. I want to say thank you very much for coming out to Longshot Sports Bar here in Hollywood Park. Bring all your friends out. Bring your dollar beers. Bring your hot dogs. Whatever you're going to do, munch. Get a good spot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together.
Yes.
Give it up for yes. Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Part of his instructions to the crowd were munch, by the way.
Munch?
No.
He's a delight.
Check. Hello, 1, 2, check. Check, 1, 2, test, track 3.
What?
Check.
What?
Check, 1. Oh, turn that down. Check, 1, 2,
turn
check,
it all
over.
Down.
That is over the limit. Over
yes,
the
is.
Limit. Here we go. Hello. It's over still.
Mm.
Wow. Test. If I get down here, check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Ooh, he's bringing it down.
Here we go. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Okay.
He's dead sexy, isn't he?
I think we're set now. I think we're ready to go.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abijo. It's Tuesday, and it is the 21st of...
Oh, my gosh.
Bean, did you recover yet from having company over the weekend?
Just barely. I was dead in the water yesterday. I mean, I really was. And I went to bed around 8. And I think I'm starting to fight my way back. I'll need a few. It's like Jimmy after the time change. You know what I mean? How the time change screws his schedule up.
Yeah.
I think I'll fight my way back, but it's going to take probably the rest of this week.
Bean hasn't had guests really ever at that house. A couple times.
Yeah, people have visited, but... you know, I've never attempted the breakneck pace that I did with Dave when he was up.
By the way, breakneck pace, opening K-Rock's LA Invasion, first of all. But second of all, breakneck pace for Bean is really pretty slow for the rest of us.
It's not having a nap. That's
well,
it.
He doesn't take the nap.
And then
look, you guys
the beginning of it, yeah.
You guys mock me, but on Saturday, we were up at 7 a.m. and went nonstop until midnight. I mean, that I don't care who you are. By any standards, that's a long day.
Right, but most of us look back on that and go, wow, that was great.
It was fun.
You need a week.
I'm not saying it wasn't fun. I mean, you're talking about two different things here. I'm not complaining that it wasn't fun. I'm saying that I'm just wiped out. That's all.
And it's going to take a week to recover.
I'm just exhausted. That's all. Dave, meanwhile, who flew home on Sunday afternoon, was going to 311 that night.
I know. See, Dave's different. Dave's way different. He's even worse than I am. I mean, he's the guy that will come back from Vegas and go to a show or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Or go skiing.
The only time he ever sleeps is during our show.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only reason he's so brave when it comes to going out and partying is because he knows he's going to get 8-9 hours of sleep as soon as he shows up for work.
Right, exactly.
So true.
He really is just so low-key. There's just no life force coming out of him when he's here. But then, you know, you see him at the Rage show, like I did at Pepper Spray the Bells, and he's in the mosh pit going around the fire and knocking people over and both hands in the air with a victory sign, just going crazy.
He's superhuman. I'm telling you, I got to give it up to Dave.
He, by the way, has decided that he's going to join the, save the K-Rock softball team. Apparently, there's a K-Rock softball team, and they've been having their troubles.
Yeah.
And Dave's just been waiting. He's just been biding his time. He's just going to step in when they need him. Because at the beginning, there were too many people, right?
No, listen, the K-Rock softball team could be very good.
Right.
But there's a lot of internal problems with the K-Rock softball team.
Meaning that a lot of people who shouldn't play.
Well,
really?
Let's say I showed up for two games and never got an at-bat, but sales girls at Jack are, like, you know, batting cleanup.
Yeah, but they're but they're hot.
Yeah, I know. But when it comes to winning softball games, it's, you know, a bunch of, like, let's have fun.
You got
to
choose.
But when it comes to watching girls run around the bases, I think they made the right call, Mike.
Yeah, whatever.
So pinch runner. Have somebody bat and then have them go ahead and pinch
run. Yeah, Mike Lauer and I are sitting on the bench waiting to get an at-bat. Both of us are ready to crush home runs. And, you know,
that's a sure thing.
Certainly don't have a confidence problem. Tell you that. But anyway, so Dave yesterday in the office was like, okay, it's time for me to step in and save the softball team.
He has been biding his time.
He has.
Yep.
He says he saved the basketball team. He says the reason they won is because of him, remember?
I know. And then I was talking to some of the other people on the team, and they were like, oh, please, let's not get crazy.
Watch your back, my little immigrant friend.
Well, that's good advice.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Nikki Six is the name we haven't really heard in a long time.
No.
But he's got a new song and a new book.
Interesting.
And we have him in the studio today.
He is a, if you don't know the name, a bona fide rock star from Motley Crue. And he'll be here. And Motley Crue, by the way, is still an ongoing concern as far as I know. Still a band that at any time could put together a record or tour.
Odd, yes, but that's that is true.
Okay.
Also on today's show,
fans.
Trapped in the Closet. R. Kelly, Chapter 18. That's in the 7 o'clock hour. That is nutty beyond words.
It's been magical.
Can't wait to hear what R. Kelly comes up with for this chapter, because I feel like he was giving us a rest in the last chapter. Not much happened. Kind of ratcheted up the tension a little bit, and today I think it's going to be crazy.
So we got that coming up this morning. We have you woke up in somebody else's house, and it was a complete surprise to you. We had a girl call us on What to Do Nephew, and she said that she woke up one morning and she came out and there was a chick laying on her couch and she'd never seen her before. Had no idea who she was.
That has
potential. Where she came from, what happened.
She called the police. How crazy is that? You don't want to call the police in that situation.
No, you climb in.
What the hell? So anyway, we're going to talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm sure that's happened to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
In our audience, especially. I believe we're going to try and get a hold of Doto.
Finally.
No. No.
Yeah, good luck.
Not going to work?
No?
I'm just saying no way. Impossible. Oh. He's like Axl Rose. You could say you're going to talk to him, but no way. Too elusive. Too mysterious.
He is. He's the most difficult person on this planet to get a hold of, and I'm not exactly sure why, except for perhaps he's retarded. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe.
But I think he's in Singapore, and he wrote us an email saying that he would be available to go on our show on Tuesday. So we couldn't tell if that was Tuesday or Thursday. We don't know what he meant by Tuesday.
He does always make it sound like it's so difficult to speak on the phone from Asia, yet millions of people do it every day. I don't know why business can be conducted between Los Angeles and Singapore every day on the phone, yet for some reason we can't ever talk to him.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
You hook him up with Shaolin Robot.
Oh.
Imagine their kids.
Shaolin Robot is developing quite the fan club, by the way. We get a lot of email from people who love her.
I don't know if you saw the story out of China, but apparently the TV news there is not reporting any bad news.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's been banned. They are government-controlled, right?
Yeah, they're government-controlled, right.
Yeah.
And they've banned bad news, which in this country would mean that you would have a 000 newscast.
There's no news.
Right. I mean, people don't, hey, it was sure a nice day today.
It's not
okay,
news.
Back to you.
So when, you know, if we had that policy here, you never would have heard about the Minnesota bridge collapse, by the way.
Right,
we're also
course.
Playing LA Invasion, along with Utah Mine Disaster. They're playing the LA Invasion as well. But
they're
you
good.
Wouldn't have heard about either of those stories, for instance, because that would not be allowed on the television.
Yeah.
That's what it's like in China right now.
And we also have tickets for you to go to the K-Rock LA Invasion on September 15th. It's coming up very soon. We're going to give you a chance in about a half hour, just after 6 o'clock. For those of you that listen early, you're going to have a chance to have your ears bleed and also win tickets to a concert. Because we're going to do Omaroki coming up.
Ralph oh, no. Really?
Ralph, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awfully early for Omaroki.
Yeah. Well, we'll give them enough heads up that they can put in some kind of earplugs.
Okay.
That's good.
So
there we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
All right. We'll take a quick break and come back. Ralph's next with the showbiz. 548. We got there, Ralph. Why all the noisemakers?
Happy H Day! Happy H Day!
Happy H Day. Anniversary of the hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it?
H Day. Oh, Hayden Panettiere, 18,
he
finally.
18 years old today.
I get it.
So I wanted to be one of the first to celebrate.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Joto would like to celebrate as well.
Would he?
Yes.
Maybe on Thursday. Yeah. But not today.
Yeah, today she's finally 18.
And yes, she is.
All of that backlogged material that you've been putting
God, do I want to bone her. I want to split her like a pair of eights.
You've been waiting to say that.
I want to save the cheerleader, save my crank.
You know, for folks who don't watch The Heroes, part of the problem has been, starting earlier this year, she started getting noticeably and ever more ridiculously hot with every episode. And it was just, it had to get to a point where somebody was going to explode.
Yep, indeed.
That somebody was Ralph.
That somebody was Ralph, but now.
Yep.
She's the hottest. She was on Letterman last night just looking insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well, it's hard to look bad when you're 18, Ralph.
Not all 18
where do you go?
Not all 18-year-olds look like that.
Take
I'll
a walk down Melrose with me sometime, and I'll point out a few just people are goners at 18. Just might as well just pack it in. Get off the island.
I was super dork when I was 18. Now, very cool. But when I was 18, super dork.
You're probably better than you were at 18, but not super cool.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's the party, man. Great, we have a cowbell.
We should have a party machine. We should have a Hayden Panettiere party machine today. Just F everything and just play the Heroes theme over and over again. Yeah, and then songs about sex. Well, can't all be good news.
I'm sorry, Ralph, let me butt in.
Sure.
Since you're just beginning, we are going to give away some tickets for the K-Rock Los Angeles Invasion, and that is going to be just after 6 with Omaroki. So if you want to be involved in that, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Okay, back to you, Rob.
Party train's leaving the station. Can't all be good news. Just caught wind of the fact that Kevin Federline's got a new job.
What?
The CW has just hired him to appear on One Tree Hill. Kevin will be playing a rock star.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
That's going to require some real acting.
I know. I don't think he's man enough to pull it off.
Nope.
TMZ.com tells us that he will go to Wilmington, North Carolina, where the show takes place and films this week, and film his role.
All right.
Sorry?
All right. Go ahead, then.
What's that?
Don't know. Just some random noise came from somewhere in the ethosphere.
Oh, the ethosphere.
I don't know.
Take that the machine away from Kevin, please, Mike.
It really is just getting worse and worse.
That was my fault.
That was actually Mike.
Not me. Sorry.
Kevin, take that machine away from Mike.
I don't think either of us can be trusted, unfortunately.
Speaking of Kevin Federline, the gloves are coming off in his custody battle with his ex-wife, Britney Spears. Apparently, Britney says now, according to PopCrunch.com, the entertainment news website, she's fed up with being made out to be the bad guy in this situation. And she's ready to launch her own allegations.
Okay.
That Kevin was never there for her or the children and partied his way through both of her pregnancies. and tried to sell a sex tape of the two having relations.
You know, unfortunately, I believe what she says about him, and I believe what he says about her.
I do, too.
It's just, there's no good person here.
Where do you go? Ship him off to Shar Jackson. That's what I say. She's already got a couple. So, apparently, the long-rumored sex tape that the two of them made does exist.
How about that?
It's got to be seeing the light of day soon, right?
Well, I hope it was when she was hot.
Yeah, I think it was.
You know, when they first met or whatever. Yeah,
back in the
I just remember when they had
days.
That... Yeah, the chaotic days, exactly what I was thinking. It seems like they were filming their whole lives then, and she was pretty wasted at that point already.
Yeah. Speaking of babies, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie reportedly deciding to try for a second biological child of their own as opposed to adopting.
Yeah.
That's the latest coming from a source close to the couple. He also says that Brad is crossing his fingers that it'll be a boy. Because they already have Shiloh. She's a girl.
Okay.
I mean, you can always tell Shiloh's always the name for a girl.
Sure.
Or a pony.
What about every single tabloid magazine for the last 6 months saying that those two are going to break up? He's left. They're fighting. He's gone. He moved out. Every single magazine for just ever.
They have a dartboard full of stories, I think, at all these tabloids. And then they just put Brad and Angelina, and then they leave a blank, and they just throw a dart and says, are breaking up, are in love, are pregnant, are adopting, and then they just print it. It's the easiest way to work. More celebrity baby news. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady and his very pregnant supermodel girlfriend Gisele Bündchen are apparently planning to tie the knot this fall-winter somewhere on the East Coast. Reportedly, Tom Brady wants time off to get married.
Time off from the football season?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's a joke.
Well, no. That's the rumor that he's asking for at least a game off so he can go get married.
Well, you don't get time off during the football season.
The season's not that long.
Mostly because you have the other 8 months of the year to do it.
That's what I would think. But apparently that's when she wants to get married. However, I'm in favor. I think you should take the whole season off.
Well, yeah, you're an Eagles fan, of course.
It'd be a great idea. Especially sometime in February, you could take that off as well.
The very first weekend, maybe.
Maybe. That would be a good time. Speaking of babies again, Eva Longoria and Tony Parker are fighting over children, according to Star Magazine.
Oh.
Tony wants to have two. Eva, on the other hand, wants 10.
10 kids?
I'm not kidding. 10. She wants 10.
Mexican.
Yeah. Is that why? Because she's Mexican?
Right.
Some sort of law
the genes.
Or something?
Ingrained
in her DNA.
Is she planning to actually have them?
What's that?
Is she planning to actually have them
I believe
them
she
herself?
Wants to have them herself.
Well, let's wait till she has one or two before.
That's what I'm thinking.
Holy
she
crap.
May be
what was I thinking?
Line. Yeah.
You know where they come from? You know what part of body you have to squeeze a baby out of?
Yeah.
Hi, someone should have told me this, she'll be saying. Pete Doherty of the Baby Shambles, arrested for drugs over the weekend.
No way.
What are the odds? He was playing the V Festival in Staffordshire, England. And the cops nabbed him once again for drug possession. Surprise, surprise. For those of you keeping track at home, this is the 16th arrest he's had for drugs.
Well, I'm why going is he to still out walking around?
I'm going to freaking England.
No
That's
kidding.
Where I'm going to go with my drugs and my problems, because apparently they let you get away with a lot of crap over there.
Seems like it.
Can you imagine being popped 16 times here in the States for drug possession?
He's one of those guys, for those of you that don't know, he's pretty talented musically, but everyone is surprised that he's still alive. You know what I mean? He's like, he's one of those guys that's just a burnout. He has no control over the drugs whatsoever. 16 arrests.
When it comes to drugs, he likes them a lot. That's what I'm trying to say.
He's not shy about the drug taking.
He is not an anti-drug musician. This Donald Trump Celebrity Apprentice thing is just out of hand.
Now
Trump's
what?
Still telling the New York Post that he's trying to... he's currently in negotiations, he claims, with Britney Spears to be on the show. Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay.
That Paris Hilton is still a wild card, but Lindsay Lohan is expecting a phone call from him this week to talk about it.
So he's talked to no one.
He's insane. He's out of his freaking mind. None of those three women are going to show up on his show.
No.
Especially when you hear the lineup of the other celebrities he's hooked up for Celebrity Apprentice.
Please tell us.
Carmen Electra, who will
good.
Show up on any show, anytime, any place, but it's fine with me.
But she looks
she's
hot, so.
Hot.
That's good.
Joan Rivers.
Oh, my
no.
God.
Jeff Gordon.
Well.
Tony Hawk. Pete Rose. And George Foreman.
Oh, I'm in on that show.
Wow.
And Lindsay Lohan. No, see, it just doesn't fit when you put those names in that list.
Well, they're not going to be there anyway, so it's okay.
Next to Pete Rose. You don't see it. And Paris Hilton may be taking some time off from her charity work in Bible reading to make a movie for television.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's in negotiations to star as the princess of a mafia family in the upcoming aptly named Mafia Princess movie.
That's hot.
For cable television. Apparently, it is based on a 1986 novel. And the author of the book, Antoinette Giancana, has handpicked Paris herself to play the starring role, so we may be seeing her act sometime soon.
Seems like she was created for that role. She's going to be the princess.
Mafia princess? Yeah. She doesn't have to do much. We'll be okay. Lily Allen really wants to play the MTV Video Music Awards that we're all going to next month, but she's having a hard time getting her work visa sorted out, so it looks like she's not going to be able to perform.
Ah.
Which is a drag, because I think she's pretty good.
Kind of like her.
Down, boy! Down! Down! Atomic!
Jeez,
kill Atomic! Kill!
Tater Tot!
Kill Tater Tot! Atomic, kill Tater Tot!
Kill Bean!
Somebody just ran outside barking at something. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, no worries. It's fine. Sounds good.
Sounds natural.
Adds to the show enormously.
I can't imagine what's happening.
That's what people
here.
Expect when they come here.
Sounds of growling animals.
Almost hard to believe we're in third place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lily Allen has three nipples, by the way.
Yeah, that's
what?
True.
Oh, that's like, right.
Is she really?
Just adding some information.
I've heard
adding
that.
Some deep background to that story that she may not be performing at the MTV Video Music Awards. And more chick rock news. Remember Lilith Fair? Remember that long-running...
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Chick Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan. Yeah. They were doing everything.
Yep.
Looks like we're seeing the dawning of a new girl music festival this fall.
Yes.
It's called Girl Frenzy. Oh. And the headliners are Avril Lavigne, Fiona Apple, and Sheryl Crow.
Well, that's not terrible.
If you like the chick rock, the show will kick off on October 27th here in California at the Verizon Amphitheater in Irvine, California. Tickets go on sale this Saturday, and all the proceeds will go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation and the St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
That's nice.
Which is two good causes there, so maybe you want to pick those up. Hey, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend. Don't have to hear that song ever again. That's the only thing I'm saying. Celebrity birthdays!
Woo! Whose birthday is it, Ralph?
Oh, my God.
You actually have an air horn.
I do. Hayden Panettiere. 18 years old today. You know what that means?
What?
Everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything.
The world.
She said last night on Letterman, it means she could buy smokes, porn, and register for to vote.
No alcohol, though.
No.
Three more years.
Canada for that.
Three more years, yeah. Also celebrating a birthday today, Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 51 years old today. Serge Tankian from System of a Down turns 4 years old today.
What a happy young man he is.
Yeah. Do you think he celebrates a birthday or does he just... Hates a birthday. Just
he kills a Turk.
The Turk Killers, by the way.
They're playing in.
And Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix, recently seen as Shia LaBeouf's mom in Disturbia. She's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tell you something. This L.A. Invasion that is virtually sold out for September the 15th, there are still some seats available. It is it's a hot show. It's one of the best we've done out there. And, of course, by out there, I mean for the first time ever at the Home Depot Center.
Yes.
We've managed to escape the Inland Empire. September 15th, it's a phenomenal show with Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and Paramore. Those are the bands that are playing. We are giving away tickets all this week on K-Rock, including right now with a little game we like to call Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, so what we're going to do is Omar's going to sing a song by one of the bands that are playing the K-Rock Los Angeles Invasion. And you have to tell us the song title and the name of the band.
We should really change that intro to say that I'm a really awesome singer.
And then you'll go into the drawing. You don't automatically win, but you'll go into the drawing for the tickets.
I've heard Omar try to sing before. This could be the real hardest game in the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not even the right button at all.
Sean in Redlands, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What the hell happened? Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, time for Omaroki.
Yeah, here comes the what?
doctor, it comes to wash away the sins of you and I. This time you see like holy water. Right. It only burns you faster than you'll ever dry.
That's fine. That's fine. Thank you. All right. All right.
Oh. So, dude, when you get in the zone, you can't just stop. You think they're telling Scott Weiland we've had enough?
Shut up? You just gave them away, douche.
Sorry.
This is a game. We're doing a game where the guy has to guess.
I forgot about that.
Sean, what's the band and the song title?
Velvet Revolver?
Yes.
Wow, how'd you get that?
And the name of the song is?
And, I don't know, let Omar keep talking.
Nope.
Yeah, he'll give it away.
Song title, please.
I don't know, Bad Singing?
Bad Singing is accurate, but not the name of the song, unfortunately. That was Slither. Scott Weiland should be seriously concerned.
Exactly. You know, they got a little reverb. I thought you'd throw some reverb, a little bit of filter on this mic. Bam, dude, dead on impression.
Omar, we can't save you with all the recording equipment in the world. Right? There's nothing we can do. All right. So no luck there. Let's try Joey. He's in Montebello. Joey, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Listen up. Here's Omar Roki. You're going to give us title and artist to have a chance at the tickets, all right?
Cool.
I used to be a little boy, so old. In my shoes, and what I choose is my choice. What's a boy supposed to do? The killer in me is the killer in you, my love.
He's getting all sensitive on us. All right, Joey, this one's pretty easy. What do you think?
Oh, it's Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm going to say a wild guess. I'm not sure. 1979?
Sorry, it's Disarm. You know, that is one thing that we've learned people have trouble with is song titles. They get it.
Yes.
They know the band. They've heard the song 100 times, 1,000 times. They don't know the song title.
Although having said that, and I mean no offense to our caller, there's no way that was 1979. If you ever heard 1979 one time, you knew that wasn't it.
I was trying to be nice. All right. James in Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
What up?
What up? Omar Roki is up. Name the song and band.
Egomaniac and the Brainiac don't know how to act. 48-track studio gangster Max signed a deal. Think he's going to make a mill, but he never will. Till he crosses over still, filling your heads with fantasies. Come with me. Show the sacrifice that it takes to make the cheese.
Whoa. James?
You know, dude, this might be the last time that I'll be in the studio because one of these bands might hear me on the radio and invite me to do a duet or something on stage. You know?
It could happen. It's true. Could happen.
Nah. All right, who? Definitely interesting. Is that a Cypress Hill one? Be a rock superstar.
Good.
We're gonna give that to you. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Hang on. Don't know how to act. Yep. It's rock superstar. You hold on. We're gonna put you in the drawing. If nobody else gets it, you will win automatically. Let's go to Kurt in La Mirada. Good morning, Kurt.
Right. Hey. Good morning.
Good luck. Here's Omar Roki.
If everything could ever feel this real forever, if everything could ever be this good again, the only thing
I think our listener is stopping you.
Wow. Before the police
do. Are you allowed to do that?
The listener is cutting in and stopping you.
I heard Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters Everlong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You're in the drawing.
Yeah.
He said that was good. You hear that?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. He also stopped you early.
I'm telling you.
Let's go to Jason in West Covina. Good morning, Jason.
Yo, yo.
Here's Omar Roki. Good luck.
And this is for the one.
Oh, no.
And this is for the questions that don't have any answers. The midnight glances and the topless dancers. The candid freaks. Cars packed with speakers. The G's with 40s and the chicks with beepers, the northern lights and the southern comfort, and it don't even matter when
Jason,
the veins,
you know,
are punctured, and the crackheads, the critics,
turn
the
his mic down. Hey, Jason, do you know it?
It's Kid Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
IRS, the crooked
save us by telling
the
us the title. We can make him stop. What's the song called, Jason?
For all the hookers tricking on in Hollywood, Jason? And for the hoods in the world misunderstood.
Hey,
I said it's
he's
all good
enough.
And it's all in fun.
Yeah. What's the song called, Jason? Can you hear us at all?
I believe it's Ma with a Ma.
Yes, it is. And this is for the questions that don't have any answers. The midnight glancers and the topless dancers. Wow.
We got to be done. We have to be out of this.
I got one more,
right?
Dude.
By the way, Bean, I had his microphone completely off at the end.
Yeah.
We could still hear him just
because they rock so freaking hard.
Just burning through. Yeah, you rock
dude,
so hard.
Turn off my mic, you can still hear me.
Dude, people who are listening to the coast could hear that, Omar. There's no way to get away from that.
All right, let's go to one more. It's Dan in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys.
All right, here's your song. Tell us the song title and artist, please.
In your house, I long to be room by room, patiently.
He's trying to be bad now.
Wait for you there.
I don't think so.
Like a stone.
Hey, why don't you sing the song title, douche?
For you there. Alone.
Dan?
Yeah, Chris Cornell.
Yes, name of the song?
I think it's I'll Wait For You There.
Okay. Dan, here's why that's funny, because he used the song title, Like a Stone, in the singing of the song. He actually gave you the song title.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
and then Kevin said, way to sing the song title. I mean, he pointed out what it was.
Right after it. But you're not correct.
So cleansing to hear Chris sing it now, isn't it?
How dare you?
Who's in the drawing? Who do we have that could win tickets for the LA Invasion?
Who's the president of China?
James, shut up. Kurt and Jason. James, Kurt, and Jason.
Can't Omar go back on vacation like he was last week? Is that possible?
Lisa?
Our winner is Jason in West Covina.
Jason in West Covina. All right. Let's go to Jason. Congratulations, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
You got tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion Saturday, September 15th. Sorry you had to listen through to this ugly game.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
We took a call a few days ago on What to Do Nephew from a girl, and she was telling us a little story about how somebody had broken into her house.
I woke up yesterday to find a 24-year-old girl sleeping on my couch.
Do you know who it is?
I had no idea who this person was. She apparently wandered into my house drunk last night, like the night before. The night before.
Right.
I call the cops. I call the cops. And they tell me that I'm supposed to, like, since I live near clubs, it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, they told her, you know, you live right next to a club. I mean, that's just going to happen.
What do you expect?
What do you expect?
Sure.
Now, here's my problem with that story. You don't call the cops.
No.
If there's a chick sleeping on your couch and you're a girl, you say, don't sleep on the couch. There's
you don't have to sleep on that couch.
Right.
No, it's okay. No, it's not. No. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
Here's my question, and maybe I should direct this towards Psycho Mike, since I'm sure this has happened to him countless times back in his drinking days. But if you're really so effed up that you don't realize you're trying to get into somebody else's house, how do you get in? I mean, how do you get past the locked door or window or whatever it is to end up on somebody else's couch?
That's always – I mean, that type of stuff happens in a blackout state, always, 100% of the time. And you don't remember from like 7 p.m. on. And next thing you know, it's 7 a.m. the next morning. You're like, how am I in Long Beach in this guy's house?
I don't know why.
I didn't drive here. I don't remember being anywhere near, you know, that's just the way it is.
And Mike ended up in cities that he didn't even know how he got to. It wasn't just the house.
That's the truth. One of the worst times was waking up in a guy's front lawn that I didn't know in Long Beach. The sprinklers woke me up. And the last thing I really remember was being in Hollywood with my friends.
Dude. Oh,
and I don't remember how I got in like the Long Beach area. I don't know how I got there. Luckily, all my like my wallet, my keys, and everything were still in my pockets, and no one robbed me or anything.
But if your friends were funny, they would. That's what I would have done. Just taken you to some random house in another city and dropped you off on the lawn.
Well, we could get into what's happened to me in Europe and stuff, but we don't. That's when you're
laying in a yard and you get woken up by the sprinklers in the morning. That's got to feel like a new low when it happens to you. It just has to.
That's one of those times when you swear you'll never drink again.
Yeah.
And then like at 5 p.m. that night, you're
of course you got to take some more.
Oh,
all right, so we're gonna take some calls here in a second at 1-800-520-1067. If you ended up breaking into somebody else's house, or somebody else ended up breaking into your house, and you didn't know it or they didn't know it, and somehow you wake up and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't my place. I'm sure that's happened a lot to listeners. It's happened to me with a car. Let's say good morning to Crikey. Good morning, Crikey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Crikey works here at K-Rock. He's a phone op for Jed. And this happened to you recently?
Yeah, it was Halloween.
Halloween, okay.
And I went to a party in the 909.
Sure.
And I was dressed in German lederhosen.
All right, because it's Halloween, okay.
Right, and wandered away from the party because, well, I wanted to use the bathroom and there was a line.
Sure.
And went out front, got lost, couldn't find my way back, ended up wandering through the streets, got a ride with a stranger.
Right.
Ended up back near, kind of close where the party was because I saw my car and I figured I would have parked in front of the house where the party was going. But
right.
I had actually parked about four doors down. And went up to the front door. It was unlocked. Walked in. Couldn't find my way back out once I realized it was the wrong house.
Okay, so this was a house that was four houses down from where you were originally partying.
Exactly.
And your car was in front of it. So you walked inside. What do you mean you couldn't find your way back out?
I got to, like, the living room and realized, you know, well, hold on, this is the wrong place.
Right.
And in my drunken haze, just didn't know where the front door was.
So you couldn't get out, so you just laid down?
Well, no. First, I used their phone to try and call my friends.
Okay.
I used their phone in the kitchen because lederhosen don't have pockets.
Okay.
So I had no ID. I didn't have my cell phone.
Right.
But that didn't work because nobody picked up when I called. So then I curled up on the couch and took a nap.
Was anyone home at the house that you broke into?
Well, about an hour later, I was woken up by a middle-aged woman who was just screaming at the top of her lungs.
Because you probably scared the hell out of her.
Well, yeah. I mean, I looked like a drunken Keebler elf curled up on the couch. But I, you know, I did my best to calm her down. I just looked her in the face and I said, ma'am, please, you're making a fool of yourself.
I'm sorry, wait a minute.
She's making a fool
of herself.
Well, the best part is I said, you really need to calm down and get out of my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not Omar. It's not like usually as soon as alcohol touches my lips, I make a fool of myself.
Right.
It was like I'm usually a guy with a certain amount of class, but this night I just went out of
control. This was exceptional. All right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yep.
And my favorite part of that story is that he was accusing her of being in his house. How
sure.
dare you, woman?
That's brilliant.
You get out of my house. How do you like that?
He should be all confused.
He may have thought he was in his house.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. You ended up breaking into somebody else's house and didn't realize it, or somebody else broke into your house when we get back.
So we got a great idea for a phone-in topic from a K-Rock listener a couple of days ago who told a story about going out into her living room and finding a woman passed out on her couch that she did not know. Who was this woman? How did this woman get in her house? What's the story there? We thought, you know what? That's happened to a lot of our K-Rock listeners.
Oh, yeah.
They've been on the receiving and the giving side of that story. So we wanted to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And naturally, the lines are packed.
Yeah. Let's start with Martin in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Martin.
Hi, guys.
What happened, dude?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
A couple years ago, my mom woke me up at like 5:30 in the morning, just frantic, totally scared out of her mind. She's like, there's someone asleep on the couch. What do we do? Oh, my gosh. And so I'm like, calm down, calm down. So I go downstairs and I look and there's this dude just totally curled up on our couch. And he's this big fat guy and his shirt is off and his shoes are off. And his shoes are placed nicely next to the couch and his T-shirt is perfectly folded and right next to his shoe.
That's nice.
And he's just totally out. And so we're just kind of looking at him like, what do we do? What do we do? And so I kind of wake him up and I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? And he's like, like totally freaking out. He had no idea where he was. It was honestly the most confused I've ever seen a person in my entire life.
Sure.
He was just totally confused. And like, we tried to figure out, I didn't know of any party going on in the area. I didn't, you know, he didn't know anybody that was in my family. It was just totally random. Just this guy with his shirt off. And so he kind of stands up and is like, I'm really sorry. And just puts on his T-shirt and shoes and leaves out the front door.
Oh, my God.
Let me ask you this, Martin. Did you recognize him at all from his years on Knight Rider or Baywatch?
No, unfortunately not.
Not. All right. Thank you, Martin, for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, we're actually having some decent storytelling going on today.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Let's go to Tom in Riverside. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
You were breaking into people's houses?
Well, like, I was with my friends, and I'm not in a fraternity, but they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, we all got kind of wasted a little bit too much one night, and so I freaking passed out in this guy's house, and I wake up, and it's this old guy, and he's all, oh, do you want anything to eat?
Well, wait a minute.
Really?
Is this with someone you didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't know him. I just woke up in his house.
Okay, so, and then when you woke up, he asked you if you wanted something to eat.
Yeah, he's all, you want some coffee, orange juice? He's all, I made you some toast. He's all, I have Fruit Loops. And he's all, the remote's right there if you want to watch some TV.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
Seriously.
He thought it was his lucky day.
And then did he take you to the bedroom?
No, I hope not.
How about that? What a strange difference of reactions from the woman the last call freaking out. Didn't know what to do. This guy's making him breakfast.
I know. I think he was lonely.
Wow, Tom.
He's you can watch what you want on TV. Just lock the door behind you. I'm going to head out to work.
What?
Oh, my God.
He
left you there?
Wow. I hope you took everything he had. I mean...
That is some real hospitality, man. You were somebody's boy toy. Congratulations.
You don't see that every day, do you? Hey, lock up before you go.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's talk to Sean on line 7. Sean is down in Chino, and this is how you want to wake up. Sean, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
So you woke up at somebody else's house?
Yeah, I was at a party at my buddy's house, and I got really plastered and walked out front and thought I walked back into the house. Well, what happened was I had walked into his neighbor's house.
Right.
And their grandmother lived there.
Right.
And I had walked in, kind of took my shoes off, noticed that nobody was really partying anymore. I figured the party had gotten broken up. So I walked into what I thought was the room I was staying in and crawled into bed, and there was somebody in bed. So I figured, you know, it looked like some lady.
It's my lucky night.
You know, my lucky night. And I get in there, and I crawl into bed, and I kind of spoon up next to her. And all of a sudden, she flips out and she starts screaming. And I realize it's an old lady. It was my neighbor's grandmother.
Oh, my God. You spooned your neighbor's grandmother.
Yeah, it was pretty bad because, like, when she saw me, like, I have a bunch of piercings in my face. I have full sleeves and, like, a big pat on my neck and stuff.
So grandma didn't appreciate that much?
Grandma did not appreciate that very much. So I freaked out, hopped up, ran out the house. Went back into my buddy's house, and they're like, "Where'd you go?" I'm like, "I don't want to talk about it." And I fell asleep on the couch. Well, the next morning, the police showed up at the house, and they're knocking on the door. My buddy Connor walks to the door, and he opens up the door, and the cop is like, "Do you have a friend with a lot of tattoos and piercings? And he was like, he's all, "Oh, well, yeah, I do. He's right here. His name's Sean." Like, I walk over to the door and kind of hang my head down, and I hadn't told anybody, so the cop was like, did you go next door last night? And
you should have said yes, and she was magic.
Exactly.
I wrecked her.
Best loving I ever had.
Thank you for the call. Oh, my God. He crawled into a woman's bed, an old woman's bed.
Poor lady.
Yeah, imagine. That's a story she'll take to her grave. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Let's talk to Henry in, let's see, where's Henry? San Pedro.
Pedro.
Henry, Pedro? You went on the booty cruise with us, huh?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I paid a security guard $40 so he could let me into the VIP with you guys. So I actually snuck into the VIP at Mai Tai.
Oh, you mean at the after party. Okay.
Yeah, the after party, dude. I actually got to hang out with you guys and everything. And
okay.
The last thing I remember, I was with Omar. We were drinking some of that kind of champagne. I forgot what kind it was. And
it was Dom, by the way, ordered by a douchebag friend of mine who's super rich. And he bought like 4 bottles of Dom, poured one of them all down my back. So you were drinking that.
Yeah, so I was sitting with Omar and, like, these other kind of hot chicks, and I remember trying to hit on one of them. She wasn't giving me no games. So I said, "I'm out of here." And that's all I remember. My friend said the security guard carried me, and then they met some chicks from Downey. So anyway, we get down to Downey, and I just remember, what the heck? Well, I'm from the South Bay. What are we doing out here, like, in Downey, you know? Well, I don't, this is when after everybody woke me up, but I have a chick waking me up, and she's like, "Get up." And I'm like, "What the heck?" And I open my eyes, she goes, "You're urinating all over my couch."
Oh.
I don't know where I was at. Dude, I'm like, "What the heck's going on?" So, I mean, not only that, but my friends were upset. They're like, "You ruined our game, and these chicks are never going to call us back." And, you know, well, I guess because of me, they never did call back.
Dude, that's what happens when you start partying with Omar.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I will never keep up with them. I mean,
you got to be a professional to keep pace with Omar, man. A mere amateur cannot attempt to drink with O.
Well, I am a small guy, too. I'm 5'4", you know, so
yeah.
Trying to keep up with the guy like that, man.
It's not possible.
It wasn't a smart thing.
Can't do it.
All right, thanks for the call.
No problem.
These are great stories right here, I'm telling you. These are our people.
All right, how about Stranger's Car? How about that one? Let's go to Aaron in Alta Loma. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, yeah, we went out to a party, and we were snaking beers because I wasn't old enough to drink. We were only in the 8th grade.
Right.
And so by the end of the night, I blacked out, and my friends, they took me back to my old house where I used to live.
Yeah.
And I guess they couldn't get me in the house, so they put me in the car. But I didn't live there anymore. And
Wait a minute. Did they not know it, or were they playing a joke on you?
I have no idea. And nobody would tell me what's up or anything the next day, and they were just laughing. That's all they said.
So you ended up in a car.
So I ended up in a car, and I get woken up to the guy knocking on the window. And he's knocking on the window, and I wake up. I'm, like, looking around, like, where am I? Don't know where I am. All I know is I'm in a car. So I get out of the car, and the guy's yelling at me. He's like, what are you doing in my car? I couldn't say anything. I just got up, and I just kept on walking. He's all, hey! And I just kept going. I had no idea what to say. I mean, it took me 4 hours to get home walking.
So it is hard to explain how you wake up in somebody's car if you have no memory of it at all. I mean, what do you say? You got no answers, right?
4 hours to walk home. That's brutal. All right, one more. Let's talk to Fleur in Harbor City. Good morning, Fleur.
Hi. It was a New Year's party a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine broke into my next-door neighbor's house.
Thinking that it was your house?
I don't know. No. I asked him, like, I don't think he did.
Okay.
But anyway, there were, like, 10 cop cars out in front of the house. And, like, a helicopter above, like, shining down. And we heard the cops going, like, come out with your hands up. And so we freaked out, thought it was because of us.
Mm-hmm.
But later on...
So you stepped out with your hands up, and you're like, oh, it's the neighbor's house. Okay.
Right, exactly. And so I slinked back in the house. I was like, okay, well, it's not us. And I guess, like, my friend had already gone by that point.
Right.
I talked to him later. Apparently, he was, like, crawling around on the floor, crying and hugging pillows and stuff. Jeez.
So I mean, drinking is good, then.
Right, exactly. He was, like, weeping. It was really weird. And the only reason we knew that was happening is because my next-door neighbor happens to have a Korean live-in roommate who doesn't speak English very well.
Okay.
I'm like,
yeah, I lost the plot of this story.
Me too. So she called the cops because she was afraid that the guy was crawling around on the floor crying.
Right, exactly.
She did the right thing, I think. Here's what I love, though. I love that you assumed it was you and the cops started saying, come out with your hands up. Because
sure.
You know you've done a certain amount of crap, so you know you're just going to get busted for something at that point.
It just exactly. So I was like, oh, God, because I didn't know. I thought, like, somebody had tipped off the cops that there was, like, a bunch of underage kids drinking at my house.
Yeah, you start going through the Rolodex of problems that you've caused. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't your turn that night. I'm sure they'll be back, though.
Ralph, you look like you're in an impossibly good mood today. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Well, can you put down the noisemakers for a second? Is this the Hayden Panettiere birthday party still in progress?
My penis train's leaving the station. Hayden Panettiere is 18 years old today. It's the greatest day on the planet.
Finally.
The greatest day in 18 years since the day of her birth till now. That was a good day, and then today's a good day.
I don't know that
everything
anyone
else in between is just fair to Midland.
I don't know that anybody else has ever stored up more thoughts than you have waiting for this day.
It's not always stored up.
You have had a lot to say in the days and weeks and months leading up to her birthday today, haven't you? Things you couldn't say.
Yes, I always had to say. But she's sweet and nice, and she's talented, and we appreciate her work. But in reality, I just want to... All right! She was on Letterman last night. She could not have been cuter. Just adorable, personality-wise, and then just... She had that. Her skin is tanned to the color of like a caramel apple. You just want to take a bite.
Pretty sure you're scaring her now.
Oh, she's not listening.
We have some highlights.
She's
of
in
Letterman.
New York. She's still in New York. Yeah.
We have some highlights of Letterman coming up in a few minutes.
Oh, she's the best.
She's only getting hotter too. By the way, when she's 22, can you imagine?
I can't. I can't even imagine. I don't want to imagine. Yeah. I don't want to think about it because
like supernova.
Top of my head will come off. Just not good. American Idol's changing.
Excellent. Is it ending?
Now, what's this about?
Simon Cowell is leaving American Idol.
What?
No kidding.
Seriously. He has announced.
I thought they paid him a boatload
after
of money.
After three more seasons.
Oh.
Hey, listen, if you're going to quit something in 6 years or whatever it is, don't really need to make a big press announcement about it right now. Okay? I have three more seasons under contract with American Idol, and that will be it, he says. I think by that point, the public will be sick to death of me anyway, and it'll be time to go.
He's got endless money now, doesn't he, from all of the different American Idols around the world, everything else?
Plus, he also produces, he appears on Britain's Got Talent. He produces America's Got Talent, so he's got all that money from them. American Inventor, that's his show he's producing.
That's right, yeah.
So he says, has to come a time where I'll step down from being on camera and remain behind the scenes because you can't keep doing this forever. Yeah, tell Seacrest.
Break the news to him. It's all going to be over in a couple years. So he's my favorite part of that show.
Well, of course.
He's the most entertaining part. Who are they going to put in there? That Piers Morgan guy from America's Got Talent? Wannabe?
No.
Only one answer.
Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
It doesn't get much
God,
than
I thought that was absolutely dreadful.
Hasselhoff's the best on America's Got Talent because every person that does anything on that show on the stage, he goes, this is what this show is all about.
It's always about,
whoever that person is, it's always about them.
You are what this show is all about. This is what the show is about.
Isn't the finale of that coming up this week?
I think it's tonight.
Tonight.
I believe it's the live finale where we get to see which of the four remaining contestants is America's favorite talent haver.
And this is the night that Hasselhoff
and
is going to perform?
Hasselhoff will perform for us this evening.
Nice.
Now, Ralph, I don't watch any of these shows, but what was the one that the Elvis impersonator won? That wasn't America's Got Talent?
No, that was the next best thing.
Right, that was the impersonator show.
That was a different show.
But our buddy Jeff Ross was one of the judges on.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Next best thing, that was called. It was all celebrity impersonators, but America's Got Talent. You can do anything. You can sing, you can dance, you can play guitar, you can be a ventriloquist mimic. You can do anything on that show. And
if you've got
talent, you can go. And you can. I don't see any mimes.
No mimes.
I did see Boy Shakira early in the season. That was good. A big fat Mexican guy who dressed up like Shakira and belly danced. That was pretty strong. But, yeah, we're down to our final four tonight, so we'll see. But it's a real good batch. You got, like, a 14-year-old girl with this amazing voice who's really good. This singer-songwriter dude who looks like Big Tad from the old days, but is really talented. My favorite is this ventriloquist who is a remarkable singer/impersonator, but he does it all through the puppet.
Through the puppet?
Yeah, so imagine having to sing, like, I Got Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks and sounding exactly like him, but not being able to move your mouth while you do it.
That's impressive.
That's a talent.
Yep. Hmm.
Turns out America does indeed, in fact, have talent.
Who knew?
Who knew, indeed. So you can check that out tonight if you're so inclined. Big battle these days in Hollywood going side versus side regarding the technology of high-definition DVDs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Huge battle.
You got the HD DVD, which is the high-def DVD, and then you've got the Blu-ray technology. And some people are starting to distribute their product in both formats. Some are picking sides. Mm-hmm. I believe Sony, if I'm not mistaken, is behind the Blu-ray technology. So
right.
All of their
movies
coming out of Columbia, TriStar, those studios obviously are all in the Blu-ray. But Paramount Pictures has announced that they are going strictly HD DVD.
It's a huge battle. One of them is going to win eventually, and everybody that bought those DVDs is going to have to change.
This is similar to, when I say HD versus Blu-ray, you think Beta versus VHS back in the old videotape days.
One is going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Bay apparently is cheesed off, and he released today on his personal blog, Paramount pisses me off.
Why?
I want people to see my movies in the best formats possible. For them to deny people who have Blu-ray sucks. They were progressive by having two formats. Well, no Transformers 2 for me.
What?
So he is threatening not to direct Transformers 2 for Paramount Studios because of their choice not to include Blu-ray technology with their DVDs. Oh, no, Mike. Oh, no. Who can possibly direct a movie as well as you? Who can we get to do? Oh, if you don't do Transformers 2, we'll never see it because you're the only person who can direct giant freaking robots beating each other up. Oh, please don't, Michael Bay. You're the best director. Don't threaten us with that. F off, you big whiny loser. Steven Spielberg produced that movie, douchebag.
Yeah.
How about if he steps in and directs it? Will it suck?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No Transformers 2 for me. I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue. I'm going to eat worms.
Douchebag. Kevin, isn't part of the deal with the people who like high def is that it's backwards compatible, that they have the regular DVD on one side and then the high def on the other side? Blu-ray, you can't do that. You can't play Blu-ray on a regular DVD player, right?
I'm not sure about that.
You say so?
I don't think so. I think you're right. I don't think you can play it on a regular. But I think you can play the old ones on the Blu-ray.
Right. Yeah, they don't make that it easy sense. For consumers, that's for sure.
Look,
they're both excellent formats.
They are, but one of them is going to die, so I've just been waiting. I'm not going go to go buy a bunch of DVDs.
It'd be nice that whatever it is, my old DVDs would work on.
Yeah, ideally you want to be able to do both.
I think they will. I think both of them will. I just don't think you can play the new one on the old player.
Okay.
I think
you can play your HD DVD on a regular DVD player, I think.
Okay. That's correct.
But you can't play a Blu-ray disc on a regular DVD player.
That's correct also. Yeah. All right.
But look, how crisp do we need the picture, really?
Seriously. I know.
Does it have to come off the screen and grab your eyeballs and pull you into the set? Is that seriously?
It's I love that
they're
crap.
Great. They're great pictures. Both are great
Both
pictures.
Are great. That's true.
So let's just all stop fighting, shall we? Let's stop the
that
violence.
That would be nice.
But whichever side wins is, I guess, going to make money hand over fist. I mean, they're just going to totally clean up. So that's why they're fighting. They don't want to give it up.
Here's the thing that's kind of horked is that it's not an independent technology, so you can't make a choice. The fact that people who make the movies are also making the technology, in the case of Sony and Blu-ray, it gives them a little bit of an unfair advantage because they've got an enormous library of films that they're going to be releasing on Blu-ray, and so that's going to try to skew the market. It'd be nice if someone just offered up a technology and then people could sort of choose the best of the two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if HD DVD is better, I'm not saying it is because I don't know much about the technology, but Sony's not going to budge on this. They're not going to make it, they're not going to move because that's where their money's invested, so it's kind of screwed up. Speaking of screwed up, I mentioned this a little while back, and it's time to start casting for the new NBC reality show Phenomenon.
Oh no.
Brought to you by Chris Angel and Uri Geller.
Nope.
Oh.
Yes.
Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Yes, Chris and Uri will be assessing contestants and offering their opinion about who does the most mystifying tricks of mentalism.
Is this just glorified magician? Is that what this is? You're going to do a trick?
Yeah.
Or is it they're looking for the
ESP? Each week, ten hopeful mentalists will compete to demonstrate their talents and see who is the best mentalist. Think of a number between 1 to 4 right now.
2.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. See? I am the great next mentalist.
They'll pass you right
good.
On.
They're having auditions. If you're a mentalist, or if you're just mental, and you'd like to go down to the auditions, it's going to be Monday, the 27th of August, at the Tribune Studios, which is Channel 5 there on Sunset Boulevard, 5800 Sunset Boulevard, Building 11, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can go down there if you're a mentalist and hang out with Chris Angel, who is a douchebag. And Uri Geller, who's the original douchebag. This is the guy who used to say, I can bend spoons with my mind.
Right.
Yes.
And he wouldn't effing get off it. He was like, no, it's not a trick. I really do it. I have mental powers. I can bend keys with my brain. Shut up. You can't do that. No one can.
Are you mentally insane?
He wouldn't move off it. Everyone would say, all right, how do you do it? No, it's real. I really do it. You don't really do it.
Do us a favor. If you're going down there to audition, give them our best. Maybe with a...
Yeah!
Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Say hi.
7 after 7
Yeah,
already.
It's a little late.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize. Let's move right on to celebrity birthday, shall we? Oh, did I mention Hayden Panettiere's birthday? Woo!
That's so hot.
I did notice Ralph was wearing an F the cheerleader shirt when he came in this morning.
I got to pull my train into her station. You know what I'm saying?
What the hell is that?
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
God, she's so hot. Also, Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix and most recently from Disturbia. She's 37 years old today. Serge Tankian.
What the hell?
Good times. System of a Down. He's 40 years old today. And Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City turns 51. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When you hear it, be caller 20, and you'll win them. You'll be there for the show September 15th for the World Famous K-Rock.
Chapter 18 of Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly. Coming up next, Ralph is celebrating Hayden Panettiere's 18th birthday.
Ralph, I don't think you were this excited about your own 18th birthday.
No,
what's going on today?
Whatever with me. I'm not as hot as her.
Well, okay.
Oh, it's the greatest day ever. You know what happens now when I roll over and
what?
She's there?
She's not going to be there, first
not
of all.
Not going to prison. Not going to jail. That's what that means to me.
Oh, you're not going to jail. I see,
exactly.
Because she's 18 now.
Exactly.
But what about the fact that you're not ever going to roll over and she's going to be there? What about that fact?
Hey, buzzkill. Why don't they take a perfectly good holiday like H Day and just make it all
H Day?
Make it all poopy.
I'm surprised you even came in today. I'm surprised you didn't need to quote unquote celebrate at home.
I am celebrating with our listeners. I wanted to share my enthusiasm with all the folks there at home.
Okay.
I was up late last night watching her on David Letterman. That was very exciting.
How was it? I didn't see it.
I'll send you some photos. She was wearing this black dress. And just all tanned and blonde like she tends to be, you know, all blonde.
Yeah. Like she was yesterday when we couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, but it's the screensaver on this computer here.
Yeah, but there's something about her skin, the texture of her skin. I think I'm pretty sure she's made out of crushed velvet. I think they just sewed a suit of crushed velvet, just put over her muscles. I'm pretty sure that's how it works because she just looks like you just want to touch her.
Now I have these.
And
tips
now she's
here.
18. Boy, I want to touch her. I want to touch.
What are you saying?
I want to touch her.
All right.
Yeah, last night she was talking about her break in show business. I didn't know this, but her mom was apparently an actress. Did a lot of soap operas and stuff. Did a lot of theater. And she also started in commercials when she was a little girl.
Right.
So here's Letterman asking her about her commercial career, which is
you did a lot of commercials when you were a youngster?
I did a lot of commercials. I think my mom's excuse for the whole thing is she thought she would get some nice baby pictures out of it. But I never did a diaper commercial.
Uh-huh.
My tuchus is not running around anywhere, so.
Interesting turn of phrase.
Dave just thinking about her tuchus. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Just want to bite it.
Let me tell you something about Mr. Letterman for folks who don't watch his show. When Dave is enamored of a woman,
oh, yeah.
He just gets stupid silly, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He can't hide it. It's just not possible.
So Hayden never did diaper commercials, but she did do head lice commercial.
Head lice?
A head lice commercial.
Oh.
She even makes head lice sexy.
No.
You know, they're talking about that.
But you did a, what was the commercial for, some kind of shampoo, was it?
I did a lice commercial.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the Nyx commercial, but I was the girl without the lice.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Most head lice treatments will kill lice and eggs, but only Nyx with permethrin continues to protect your child against reinfestation for 14 days. Nyx kills lice.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Pretty hot, Ralph. Pretty hot. You know how to bring in the clips, man.
I got a shampoo for her.
Oh, come on now.
Kill some pubic lice.
Oh, Ralph.
You know what I'm saying?
You know unfortunately,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying at all?
Unfortunately,
am I clear
yes.
at any level? Am
unfortunately,
look, I know it's legal at all, but isn't it still a little bit creepy to be saying these things about an 18-year-old?
No.
Not
okay.
All right. Then they start talking about her birthday, naturally, and what 18 means to Hayden. Turning 18, what the significance of that is for her.
What does 18 represent to you? Does it represent more freedom or more responsibility?
I don't think much changes when you're 18. Maybe the way people treat you, but I think the only things I could do is buy cigarettes, porn, and if I get in trouble with the law, I'm kind of screwed. So.
Cigarettes and porn! That's my girl!
That's so hot.
That's perfect for you.
Well, there's also voting. And because she's not only beautiful, but she's also a good American, here's Hayden talking about her responsibility to vote.
What about registering to vote? Tomorrow,
actually, early in the morning, I'll be taking a flight out tonight, and I'm doing something with Norman Lear called Declare Yourself. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. A lot of celebrities have been involved with it, and it's basically stressing how important it is to vote.
So three things, register to vote, pick up some porn, buy some cigarettes.
Yep. Exactly.
Good. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
It's a hell of a day. For the birthday, isn't it?
Hell of a day.
And of course, the box set of the first season of Heroes comes out this coming Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. She was also there to promote that, talking about that, and Dave couldn't help but ask her some questions about that.
No. Now, you've been on the show for one full season, and you've probably shot many of the second season already. Do you, as a member of the cast, know whether or not everybody will eventually get off the island? Maybe I'm wrong.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you may have been confusing that with another show, I think.
That's funny.
And, of course, he couldn't let the birthday talk go by without asking her what her plans were going to be for her 18th birthday.
What will you do? What will you do on your 18th birthday?
I'm going to have a lot of sex with my new boyfriend, Ralph.
I think it's my biggest
penis I've ever had.
What?
What? But that was just edited. That was clearly you just edited your voice in on that, Ralph.
That's not her, Ralph. You said it on national television.
You could have had Alex do it or a girl, any other girl. Why do you have to do it?
Do what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, Ralph.
And then the weird part was Letterman had this bizarre follow-up question.
Hayden, a lot of women have complained about the giant size of Ralph's penis. What do you think about it?
It's cute.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't bother her. She likes them.
That wasn't Letterman. That was you asking that question. Your voice sounded the same, whether you're Dave or Hayden.
You don't even try to sound like Dave. Okay. Woo! Happy H Day!
All right. Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 18 is... You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Put it away.
Happy H Day!
Right, but we have to move on, Ralph. We've got to move on. We've got to leave Hayden behind for just a moment, if you don't mind.
I'd like to leave Hayden behind.
Nikki Sixx.
No, it doesn't. But.
From Motley Crue in the 8 o'clock hour live in our studio at the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, though, time for Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 18. How many are there all together? 21 altogether so far?
22, I think.
22, I think. 13 through 22, I believe, what we're now in the midst of. And if you remember when we left off last time, Sylvester and Tuan were just dealing with Roxanne and Tina after finding out that they were lesbian co-owners of a diner.
That they were eating at.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Girls or those guys?
No, I'm saying they were actually eating at.
Right. Yeah. So it turns out Tuan has a baby with Tina, but now she's in a relationship with Roxanne, which has thrown him for a loop. The two men are driving away from the restaurant, sort of recapping for themselves as well as us exactly what just happened back there.
Man, I can't believe these bitches, all the shit I done went through. And Tina's ass man kissing that bitch. Ooh, calm down, that's just what your ass get. Then I tell you not to go f***ing with these damn tricks. Oh, oh, but you the one told me to holler at her. All I was trying to do is make it better, you know, stop the violence. But who would ever thought the bitch was dyking?
Who would have thought the bitch was dyking?
Oh,
what the hell? Who would have thought that?
Sylvester's trying to stop the violence.
Hey, no one's stopping the violence like him because he pulls out his gun every time there's a little bit of an altercation.
At every point in the story, he's got a gun out.
Yeah. Well, Gwen calls Sylvester. Gwen, of course, is Sylvester's wife, who he was cheating on with Kathy when he was originally trapped in the closet. This is also Tuan's sister.
Right.
So she tries to call him while they're in the car on his cell phone. And never has so much time been given to the subject of poor cell signal reception.
Hello. Staticking. Gwendolyn. Phone is staticking. Baby, we're getting a bad connection. The phone's still staticking. Then Gwen says, can you hear me now? No. Can you hear me now? Babe. Can you hear me now? Okay, I got you. Good.
Yeah. Dude, we really need a 4-minute bad connection chunk.
Well, can staticking be a verb?
Staticking? Yeah, the phone's staticking.
If diking can be a kid, yeah.
I guess, all told, this song is over an hour long, Ralph, so I feel like there are places where he says it's okay to pad a little bit.
No, that's exactly why he shouldn't pad. It should be all lean meat.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk to Gwen and she tells Sylvester why she called. She had a conversation with his mom. And she wants to recount that conversation to Sylvester.
Okay.
Well, Myrna calls. What did mama want? Same old thing, just talking about Dale. What daddy done this time? Drinking and cursing people out, she put his ass in jail. Daddy be tripping, he think he big pimping. Well, Myrna say he touch her, he gonna be limping.
All right, well, I don't care about Sylvester's mom and dad and their domestic violence issues.
Daddy be pimping.
Or dyking or staticking or something.
Whatever the hell.
Meanwhile... back at the church where Rufus is the pastor, you may remember that Rufus was the husband of Kathy, the woman that Sylvester was cheating with. Rufus was having an affair in his own right with his gay lover, Chuck.
Right. Okay.
Now, Rufus is back at church. He's back there being the pastor. He's since ended the relationship with Chuck. And he is up there on the stage with the Reverend, the Right Reverend Mosley James Evans, who is a new character.
Oh,
played by R. Kelly,
of course.
Well, sure.
Meanwhile, at the church, Rufus is getting his praise on with the Reverend Mosley James Evans in the Peace Within Choir.
And you know how we've been begging for him to change the music at any point throughout the past 18 chapters.
It's
of
the
this.
Most repetitious thing ever.
Well, Reverend Mosley James Evans breaks into a song that goes on for about 27 minutes, and it's all this.
Work it out.
Yeah, 27 minutes.
Oh, just goes on and on and on. Just that old Bible thumping Baptist sort of singing. We'll talk more about the Reverend and his attempt to save the soul of Pimp Lucius in the next chapter. But let's move on, shall we? Because Rufus gets a phone call while he's up there in the pulpit that he's got to take. So he goes into his office to take it. And who's calling him again? But Chuck, his old boyfriend. Call him back.
He says Chuck, then Chuck says Rufus. And then they talk at the same time. Then Rufus says, Chuck, you go first.
Oh, stop it. Just stop it.
There's no detail too small, is there?
There really isn't.
Well, go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page videos, and there's a link to all of these. You have to watch them.
Rufus is surprised to hear from Chuck, and so the first thing he's asking him is, you know, why is he calling? What's wrong, basically?
What's wrong? What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Rufus, I'm missing you. Chuck, calm down. I miss you, too.
Oh, yeah. Those old feelings are starting to stir.
Here we go.
But Rufus explains to Chuck why they can't be together.
Now you know and I know that Kathy is my wife. I mean, you knew that I had another life. Yeah, that's true, sure I knew. And we vowed to keep it between us two. All of the hotels and things we do.
All right, we don't need to get into that again, quite frankly.
Now, they were found out, Ralph?
Yeah.
Or are they still in the closet?
No, Chuck came to the door, remember, when Sylvester and Kathy and Rufus were going at it. Chuck showed up.
Right.
Said, I have someone, too. I'm in love with someone. And he opened up about their relationship to his wife.
Gotcha.
Now, while he's on the phone with Chuck, guess who walks into his office while he's on the phone?
Kathy,
his wife.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
He hangs up and then Kathy says, baby, who were you talking to? He didn't know he pushed speakerphone. Chuck cries out, Rufus, I need you.
He thinks he hung up the phone, but he didn't. He put it on speakerphone on his cell phone.
Oh, how does that happen?
Not well.
It never happens, actually.
No. And as you can imagine, Kathy does not go over well with Kathy hearing that on the phone.
She doesn't like that?
No.
Kathy starts snapping, then Chuck starts snapping, then Rufus tries to calm him down. Kathy poking the phone and throwing it around.
Yeah, everybody's snapping and throwing the phone, and it's just ugly.
Only a matter of time till the guns come out.
But Rufus says, Kathy, look, please just leave. Let me talk to Chuck. I'll handle this. I'm going to explain things to him. And so he just has to lay it on the line with Chuck.
Then Rufus says, Chuck, this is gonna be hard. But I love my wife. Besides, I'm a man of God.
Oh, the old man of God part. Sure. Is that the one he's playing now?
Plus, I'm a man of God.
Wait, wasn't he the man of God before when he was face down in the pillow, ass up?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Well, Chuck isn't gonna take that lying down.
Uh-oh.
For a change.
Or is he?
he's threatened to expose Rufus to his congregation by going to the press.
Blackmail.
And he's also got some other news for our man.
Chuck says, Rufus, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going straight to the news. And Rufus says, Chuck, slow down. You don't know what you're saying. You're confused. Rufus says, let me come see you. Chuck says, no. Rufus says, why? Because I'm in a hospital.
Yeah. R. Kelly, being the gay-friendly artist that he is, had to give Chuck AIDS.
Oh. Like, it's not hard enough for Rufus right now.
So we find out the end of the chapter that Chuck has come down with AIDS. He's in the hospital, and he's calling Chuck.
This is the most patently absurd thing I've ever heard.
It is disturbing on so many levels.
And I love how he gives equal time to a guy getting AIDS, and I'm having trouble hearing you on my cell phone. And I love how all details are equally important to R. Kelly.
Yeah.
But chapter 19 tomorrow.
Next chapter, it's Reverend Mosley and Pimp Lucius,
which is
guaranteed to be a hilarious good time.
Kevin, we got an update on a topic that we got into a little bit on yesterday's show.
Yeah, we were talking about the worst movie plots of all time.
Yes.
And we got a bunch of email from people with some of the movies that we forgot. Guys, the worst movie ever has to be Battlefield Earth. That movie was so terrible, I can't believe it was not mentioned on the show.
In 3000 AD, a mighty empire and a slave race will engage one last time.
Man is an endangered species.
On Battlefield Earth.
Yes.
Now, I don't know that that, I mean, the category was bad plots that are then performed poorly. I don't know that that plot was any worse than a million other sci-fi movies, but they did do a dreadful job with it. And John Travolta was horribly miscast in the thing.
Dear Kevin, I mean, Vin Diesel is in all the worst action movies. The Reddick movie is horrible. They crash on a planet where they are attacked by these creatures that can see only at night. So gay. Nate from Torrance.
Necromunga. It is the name that will convert or kill every last human life.
Convert now or fall forever.
The more you resist them, the greater the damage will be.
I've made my choice.
My choice. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was just thinking about the worst movies that I've seen. Sad to say, I'm embarrassed to say that I watched Brokeback Mountain. Let's face it, the idea of two gay cowboys is absurd to begin with. I think it's probably that you become gayer if you actually see the movie.
Oh.
Okay,
damn that stupid gay wannabe cowboy movie. Jesus from Santa Cruz.
Do you know somebody named Jack?
We was fishing buddies.
You know, it could be like this, just like this always.
This thing grabs hold of us in the wrong place, and we're dead.
Boris, you found a way to make the time pass up there.
You don't go up there to fish.
You don't know nothing about
her. You don't go up there and fish.
I know that that movie was a touchstone movie for a lot of people, and it was, you know, got a lot of people talking. But I wonder, you know, 10 years from now, if people are going to look back on it and go, wow, that was a really, really good movie, you know?
No.
I don't know, but I don't think it's a far-fetched movie. I'll give you that.
Hardly a ridiculous
what? There's plot. Never been a gay cowboy? Come on.
Hardly a ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Well, they're not really known for their gayness.
Men are...
Out
well,
in the middle
they
of the
can't come out because oh, they're God in a sakes, tough Lisa. Environment.
All right,
but
let's
come
move
on.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Red Dawn. Of course the Soviets
oh,
and Cubans would parachute into Colorado instead of invading a coastal state.
No, that's the key. That's the key to winning America is getting Colorado.
I'm a Wolverine. And my hatred keeps me warm, a Wolverine. So you Russians best be warned. Shooting commies, drinking deer blood, peeing in the radiator. Look up there, here comes a really angry Russian helicopter. It has been a Red Dawn.
That's,
I don't remember it being a musical. That's surprising to me.
And oh. Finally, hey, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, Lisa, couldn't call in, but I have a bad movie plot. It goes like this. Two high school students who are worlds apart, the school's hoop star and the president of the science club, secretly decide to audition for their school's musical, a decision that turns both their world and their school upside down. I think it was called Movies for Queers. Or High School Musical, not sure. Paul from Riverside.
Get ready.
I think we're meant to sing together.
For the start of something new. Everybody. The Disney Channel original movie, High School Musical 2.
Yeah, that's
how dare you.
That's the worst one ever. Time for the Ralph Hayden Panettiere birthday celebration.
Happy hey, H Day, everybody. Happy
it.
H
Noted.
Day.
Noted.
Noted. I'd like to have sex with Zac Efron. I'm not interested in smoking hot 18-year-olds.
No,
I'm more about High School Musical.
I'm down with Hayden, don't get me wrong, but I think we've established that it's Siri Teeth's birthday today, and you were very excited.
Listen, Captain Douchebag.
He's Captain Fun to you, Ralph.
People don't always listen to our show from beginning to end. Sometimes they tune in for short portions of it, and some people just tune in, believe it or not, for the entertainment news, so they can avoid your two clowns.
I don't blame people.
So yeah. I need to let these people know what we're celebrating today in case they didn't hear it previously. That's what
they
I'm
get
trying
to hear
to
the,
do.
Hear the good news first thing this morning.
And I'm
right.
Sorry if our show bores you, Bean, but sometimes we need to keep updating the people with the fact that it's H Day.
Okay.
Hayden Panettiere's birthday. She's 18 years old today. That means she's legal. Legal. Do anything you want.
Well, I don't.
Hayden Panettiere.
She still kind of needs to give you permission, doesn't she?
Well, she has. She's been giving me permission for
oh,
years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With her eyes?
With her eyes. Secretly over the television waves. She's been blinking me messages during Heroes.
Interesting.
Did you know Panettiere, by the way, in Italian means bakery?
No, I can
I
say
did
I didn't.
Not. Hayden Bakery. That's her name.
Okay.
Basically. A little piece of trivia for you to
quite
celebrate.
A fun fact.
I'll have one tomorrow, too. I'm going to come up with a Hayden fact every day. Until her 21st birthday.
Dude, I got to deal with Bean. Don't make me deal with that, too.
But come on, you can understand my obsession.
Yes.
First of all, she's a cheerleader who can save the world.
That's correct.
And she's smoking hot.
Yeah, sure.
And you could stab her and she'd get better.
That's correct.
Oh.
That's a great gift.
And didn't we determine early in the...
with my flesh sword.
Well, yeah. Didn't we determine early in the first season that she's almost like a virgin every time, right?
I don't know.
Everything regenerates. Everything bounces back with her.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
No, I'm just saying. I thought that would be good news.
He's not saying anything different than you are. It's just him.
No, but he's talking about regrowing skin and stuff and everything. It's not what you want to think about.
In terms of- oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no, 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 no.
Ew.
See, I think of pleasurable things when involving sex, not painful things and tearing and ripping.
Oh! Talk about a momentum killer right there.
That's Bean in a nutshell. Oh,
I thought it was Hymen time. Sorry.
Oh.
That's Hymen Wednesday's Bean. That's
tomorrow. I'm sorry. I got the day wrong.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, thanks for putting a bad taste in my mouth regarding H Day.
That is classic.
Did you see this Vita Guerra story?
What? No, I don't
think
so.
Vita Guerra? No. She's the chick who's famous for being in, what was it, Stuff or Maxim or whatever.
She's a huge ass.
She's got a huge ass, and she poses in a lot of these men's magazines, and she's very, very popular.
Right.
TMZ.com's got the story where she was got a parking ticket in West Hollywood. And the guy who was writing the ticket offered her... offered to forget the ticket if she had any naked pictures of herself to give him.
Really?
Yes. And she was being followed by paparazzi. She turned to them and said, "This cop just said to give this ticket away if I had naked pictures of myself." And TMZ went to the tape. There was a guy there with a video camera. They were shooting her, and they looked. They isolated the sound, and he's saying that the officer identified as Officer Salgado. He's telling a friend of hers as they're getting into the car, "You got a naked picture of her? We can make the price stay right."
I got to be honest, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Well, maybe it does, but just doesn't get captured by TMZ.com.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, wrong woman to try that with.
The mayor pro tem of West Hollywood says he's investigating the incident. Well, if he's the mayor pro tem, you know he carries all kinds of clout.
He's going to bring the heat.
That's right. Until a week from now when he's out of office. Oh, dear Lord. Rachel Ray's getting a new house. This is just for Omar. I'm doing a little story for Omar.
Oh, does he hate her with an unnatural hatred? She's the cooking chick, right?
Yeah, she's got her own cooking show. And I had no idea there was this kind of money in cooking shows. $3 million house out on Long Island in New York. 6.2 acres.
Wow.
That's sweet. Features a pool, a pond. You know, pond would be good for you, Carl.
Yeah, pool or pond, whatever. That's good.
Gardens. I just did my little sketch there. Gardens, vantage point between two golf courses. Apparently it's just a... just an oasis there on the Southampton. So.
Omar's tearing his hair out right now.
Yes, he is. So it's good news for her. Kevin Federline and Britney Spears, their custody battle is heating up. Apparently, Britney's fed up with being made out to be the bad person in this relationship, so she's ready to launch her own allegations that Federline was partying his way through both of her pregnancies. He's not a good father, and he tried to sell a sex tape of the two of them having relations behind her back, so apparently they're bringing the big guns into this battle.
There's no hair on her vagina. Do you think she's okay?
What the hell?
Do you two care at all whether anything you play has anything to do with anything anymore?
We're talking about a Britney sex tape. How is that not relevant? Tell me how a Britney sex tape could be any more relevant to that piece of sound.
That's from Californication. That's a funny show.
A little child asked me.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Alias star Jennifer Garner's ready to get back to work. She's a new mommy. Have you seen this Violet, by the way, the daughter of Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck?
I don't think I have.
One of the best-looking kids on the planet Earth. Just weird. Just weird. What a beautiful baby.
She's too beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, she's taking a role on Broadway. Here's a little something for Lisa.
Really?
They're doing a revival of a play called Cyrano de Bergerac. Are you familiar with that?
That's the one where the guy talks to the other guy from the bush?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Ryder knowing something about something a little artsy-fartsy there.
It was very little. I just knew about a bush.
Yeah, Cyrano Bergerac has a huge nose, but he is a great lover and has a great mind. But Roxanne, the woman of his dreams, is attracted only to this beefy, hunky idiot. So Cyrano knows he can't have her, so he talks through the idiot so that Roxanne can hear his words of love.
Yeah.
Kevin Kline will be playing Cyrano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it should be good.
That's awesome.
So you can check that out. November 1st, that run begins. You can see see our girl from Elias on the big stage.
Cool.
Let's all go, shall we?
I love that show still.
Elias?
Yep.
Yeah, I catch the reruns too. It's just damn good.
Still love it.
And a columnist for TV Guide named Rochelle Thomas is furious that the new Bionic Woman isn't black.
What?
Well, okay. Why would she be?
Rochelle Thomas, who
is black,
coincidentally is a black female.
Yeah.
Says they can make her better, faster, stronger, but can't they make her a brilliant sister girlfriend? Apparently not.
I don't think they're trying to.
Obviously, I mean, not. They've chosen a white British.
Why do they
broad.
Need to?
They don't need to, but she says that Bionic Woman should have been black.
Does she feel that way about all characters? Charlie's Angels should have been black. Sidney Bristow should have been black.
Yes.
I think she would prefer that, yes, if that was the case.
Okay.
Oh, those blacks. Donald Trump is talking about his Celebrity Apprentice show, saying it's just a matter of time before Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, or Lindsay Lohan signs on to the show.
Sure.
Right now, so far, he's got Joan Rivers, George Foreman, and Pete Rose. So I can see why he thinks they would be joining the lineup.
He's so full of crap.
And Pete Doherty of the Baby Shambles, of course, ex-boyfriend of Kate Moss, was arrested again for drug charges over the weekend in England.
Dude, legendary drug user.
He was playing the V Festival in Shepherdshire. And they popped him for drug possession. By the way, for those of you who are keeping score at home, this is the 16th time he's been nabbed by the police for this charge.
How do they? How is he? Why?
Yes. All of those. Happy H Day. Celebrity birthdays today. Hayden Panettiere is 18 years old today. Alicia Vitt, we forgot to mention her. She also celebrates her 32nd birthday today. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix is 37. Serge Tankian, System of a Down. System of a Down.
Brad Down?
Glendale.
Jesus, God.
Jesus.
What's wrong with you?
He's 40 years old today. Ooh, nice comeback. And Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 51 years old today. Hymens. Ruins everything with the hymens.
I'm just saying.
Rough Carpet, I walk the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to see Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue.
Hello. Yeah.
All right. Good to see you again, Nikki. How are you, man?
Good, man. I'm getting
you know,
a
it's
kink
so funny.
In my
mouth. I remember the last time we had you in, I remember how shocked I was, how unbelievably lucid and articulate you seemed, because most of what I know about you is what I've seen on VH1 Behind the Music.
Sure.
And you don't seem like the same guy anymore.
Right. Well, that was a long time ago.
Sure.
I had my days.
Do you?
Exactly.
Does it seem like that replays endlessly? Because, I mean, people expect to get that guy because they show that so often?
You know what? There's a part of it that it set me up as an artist where people go, wow, this is a guy that's recovered from something pretty disastrous.
Right.
And I get a lot of actually respect from it. So
that's
it's
cool.
Actually turned into a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they now, don't expect me to fall out of a coconut tree.
Now, you got a lot of success, and you and the band wrote a very frank autobiography of Motley Crue a few years ago, 2001, I think, called The Dirt, and I guess they're making it a movie, and we'll talk about that.
Sure.
And I figured, now you've said your piece, now you've told your story, but apparently there was an area of your life that you felt needed a lot more exploration, and that's why the new book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting, because I never planned on writing a book. In this sense, I feel like that had been sort of dealt with in The Dirt.
Right.
And I found the diaries, and I was going through them. I've been keeping diaries and journals since, I think, as far back as I can find them. It's like late 79.
I'd like to read those.
Yeah, you don't want to. It's actually really interesting because in the beginning, every time I fill up a couple books, I drop them off at storage. And I had gone down to storage to drop off some stuff, and I started kind of just digging around and stuff. And I remember reading the ones when Motley Crue was getting together and, you know, saying things in the diaries like, if a band could sound like AC/DC, have the energy of the Ramones and look like the New York Dolls, they could take over the world. And then, you know, I'm like...
And then sure enough,
this little thing called Motley Crue happened.
Yeah.
And then... It was Shout at the Devil. We just released our album, and we played to 70,000 people, and I can't believe a kid from Idaho, this is happening. And, you know, all the dreams, all the good stuff, and then Home Sweet Home takes off, and the albums are getting bigger and sold out arenas. And then when I hit late 86, 87, I was kind of stopped in my tracks. I was like, what happened to the kid with the dream? So in reading that time, I came up with the idea of publishing these to sort of be, someone could be a fly on the wall and see what happens during addiction. And it was an important part of the story to show what happens during recovery, too, for me.
It was heroin?
It was heroin, it was coke, it was pills, it was Freebase, it was everything.
Everything.
But you know what's interesting is, especially for like younger people that are listening to this, I found that it really wasn't about 86 to 87. It wasn't about any of that, even though, you know, I had to deal with withdrawal. I had to deal with all that kind of stuff with rehabs. It was, I went back when writing this book and I looked at, my dad left when I was 3. My mom abandoned me when I was 6. You know, I was a, you know, out of control teenager. I was a runaway. These core issues never got, you know, taken care of. Now, as a musician in Motley Crue and you hear core issues, you're like, what happened to this guy? He's like, he lost his mind. You know,
right.
I'm holding the cross up now, you know, find Jesus. But it's really not that. It's about getting yourself back to that original place, the kid with a dream who loves rock and roll,
right.
Who loves writing music and loves doing all kinds of creative stuff. And to be able to show that in a very clear, honest picture, I thought was an important part. And then I have a charity that I could donate the money to for runaway kids, which resonates with me because that's where I started. So it's kind of a full circle, and in a way, it's closing this chapter. Let me tell you, when we're done with this run and we've raised the awareness and we've done all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't ever want to talk about drugs again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the better.
I imagine. I mean, it doesn't sound like from what you've gone through, it was much of a good time. I mean, there were good times.
Well, I mean, but I won't lie to you. There was some crazy, amazing times. Just that one period, it got out of control. You
right.
know? So
right.
for me, you know, as an artist, I want to do this. It's like a year of giving back. We created amazing music with it. And so we got a book, we got a soundtrack, we got a new band.
I want to mention quickly the charity that you are sending the money to is supporting the Covenant House, right?
Yeah, Covenant House. And when I met with them, I looked at a lot of different charities for at-risk kids, right? And the one thing about those guys, their infrastructure is so amazing mm-hmm. and how they get these kids off the street. And, you know, there's one thing, you know, there's a shelter.
Yeah.
And they get a kid off the street. And then the kid stays there and he has a place to sleep and he gets some food and he gets itchy and he leaves and he's back out there. He's in a gang. He's shooting drugs. He's, you know, prostitution, him, her, whatever the situation is. But these people have a way of keeping the kids in there. They house them in there. They get them health. They get them mental, you know, help.
Well, it's locks on the door.
Direction.
That's how they do it, right?
No, they don't lock the door. It's free to come in and free to come out, unlike your farm.
It's a great charity, though, and I've actually been supporting that charity as well. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I found it as one of the charities that really does a solid job of taking care of people that they say they're going to
take
care of. They
do, but you know what they were missing, in my opinion, was a music program. So we created Running Wild in the Night inside of Covenant House, and for all the Covenant Houses, we're creating a music program. I got so many of my friends, musicians, people are going to come in, teach these kids, members of 6AM, the new band, the lead singer is an amazing producer, mixer, studio, you know, guy, and he's setting up all the studios and how it works. And, you know, we're on a budget, but I'm trying to raise $80,000 a month, $1 million a year, and you know, I'm about 350,000 in so far, so I got a little ways
great.
To go.
That's great. Let me give out the info of what we're talking about. This is Nikki Sixx, of course, in the studio from Motley Crue. 25% of the book royalties benefit this Running Wild in the Night, this charity inside Covenant House that you've been talking about. And the book we're talking about is called Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rockstar. That book comes out on September 18th. The soundtrack to it comes out today, and we're going to hear some of that music and talk more about that when we come back with our friend Nikki Sixx right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Music from Nikki Sixx on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
No. K-Rock. Don't do that.
What? That's not you?
You just said from Nikki Sixx.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, damn.
Sorry about that.
That's the Plain White Tees, a band that Motley Crue would stomp out with their boots if they could. Nikki Sixx is here in the studio. We're talking about a bunch of stuff that he has going on. We mentioned the soundtrack to the book, which is an unusual concept. Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rock Star. The book comes out September 18th. The soundtrack comes out today. What does that mean that it's a soundtrack to a book, Mickey?
Well, you know, the book was done, and James Michael, who is a lead singer, and he's a great producer, songwriter, and DJ Ashba, who's one of these amazing guitar players and songwriter and producer, we're all like best friends. Mm-hmm. And we're always doing stuff together. We've written for Saliva and Meatloaf and Trapped and Drowning Pool, and And I gave them the galleys to the book, and, you know, I've obviously talked about it as I was putting it together. And we all sat down and said, why don't we three as producers and songwriters, not as a band, score what we all see in our head as this story, like a Quadrophenia, like a Wall, even though sonically it doesn't sound like that, but there's that tie-in, right?
Interesting.
And so that's what we did. And it was really amazing as an artist because, you know, in Motley Crue or any other kind of band, if, you know, when you're making a record, you have a chemistry amongst the band and people come to expect something, and you sort of, it's because it's what you do.
Right.
Right. But it does put you a little bit in a box.
Yeah.
And this was different because we have this kind of Danny Elfman-ish, like, crazy orchestration stuff with big guitars on it and the narration, and then it goes into a song like Life is Beautiful, and then it goes into something else. I mean, it goes all over the place, but it tells a story, and it was really exciting to do, you know, as an artist.
That's cool.
It sounds like, how come no one thought of that before?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of Life is Beautiful, so that we can give the people a little taste of what it sounds like. We put up the whole song at krock.com, too, if you want to go hear the whole thing. That's a great song.
I like that.
And you were surprised that people started playing it on the radio. As you said, you're not really a band, and it was kind of just a specialized item. And now, next thing you know, people are asking you, hey, when are you going to tour, right?
Exactly. We weren't even a band. And then we kind of had to come up with the band name, which, you know, I'm still mad at the guys for the name 6 a.m., because I'm like, why does my name have to be in it, you know? Can't we call it 5 a.m. or anything? Why? Not my name,
I'm
no.
guessing they picked it because it was your name, though.
I guess, you know. But originally it was the number 6 and then a.m. I thought that was kind of, because Ashba and Michael, the, you know, so some one of those things. We could be Sam.
Right. This is Nikki Sixx we're talking to from Motley Crue here on the world famous K-Rock Kevin and Bean Show. What about The Dirt? There's been all this talk that a movie's going to be made. Is that moving along?
You know, it's green-lighted from MTV and Paramount. And the problem is we had one director that wanted to make between a $70 and $90 million movie.
Wow.
And, you know, MTV was, like, struggling with that, and I was really struggling with that because it's going to be glossed over, and it needs to be more of a Goodfellas Trainspotting type story.
Right.
And then we had another director in who was phenomenal, but he wanted to work on a rewrite, and it came back, and it had taken all the balls away from it. So, actually, MTV fired him. So, you know, our mantra is we're in no hurry to make a bad movie.
There's plenty of those getting made every day.
There's plenty of those. And you know what? The story's been around forever. If it gets made in a year, it's an important story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun story. It's a crazy story. And
why would it ever cost $90 million? I mean, what are you blowing up in the thing? That's crazy.
Girls. You got to hire a lot of chicks, Lisa.
That's a lot of silicone.
That's
a lot of girls
right
there.
Think about it.
All right.
It's a lot of drugs. It's a lot of mansions.
You
it's a
really
lot of
do the real stuff. You usually get the
fake. Yeah, get the fake stuff. Let's go for the fake
cheaper
stuff. Yeah.
What's the relationship like between the four of you now? Are you guys all friends and kind of in touch?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? We just got off a 2-year tour. It was a surprise for us, and I think everybody else, that it did so well. And we're on hiatus. I've always been really clear when I do Motley Crue, I focus 100% of my attention on it. And when it's time for the batteries to recharge, I can do whatever I want to do, whether it's, you know, be with my kids or
right.
you know, do a side project or do photography. So that's this time right now. I'm really into this. And then I've been talking to Mick a lot. You know, he's been playing me a lot of riffs and vice versa. So I have a studio called Funny Farm Studios. He's been actually using the studio to do some work with some other artists, and we're going to start getting together as soon as I get done with this whole thing.
Right.
And just kind of start compiling riffs, and probably next
right.
year we'll make a record.
This sounds like a really good time for you right now, Nikki.
It's an amazing time. You know what I learned through this? In my history, when things got really messed up, I had some sort of a hinge that would come undone, and there would be a part of me that would go, you know what? I know what will make this better. And this time, as I was finishing the book, my ex-wife, she files for divorce. Get off a two-year tour, should be the highlight of my life, and she files for divorce. And, you know, for the first time in my life, a complete single father dealing with this issue, putting a book together, had to go out and do the co-headline tour with Aerosmith. You know, my kids are at home, new schools, new all this stuff, and there was other stuff too, obviously. Right. And, you know, it's just like, I finished the book by saying, wow, I'm at this time in my life where I don't have to go back to being a jackass. You know, it's like, wow.
We look forward to that time, but we haven't got there yet.
You know, there's enough in the past. I've done enough of that for you. But, you know, I don't want to be all, like, serious and, you know, preaching and stuff. I'm just kind of trying to share my experience and then just keep making great music, enjoying music.
Don't you wish she would have filed for divorce before you went out on the two-year tour? Think how much more fun that tour would have been.
Yeah, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you know, I don't know what happened. Something got in the water out there on the planet. But one day, you know, Motley Crue was having a very difficult time, you know, even getting anybody to do an interview with us.
Right.
And then we do this sold-out arena tour, and there is supermodels lined up down the hallway after the show. And people would keep coming in. They would, you know, they would knock and they'd say, Nikki, blank so-and-so. You know, she was on the cover of Vogue, wants to meet you. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go back to my bus and watch Court TV.
this is the saddest story I've ever heard.
Oh, dude. So trust me, I think I made up for it on the Aerosmith tour.
Sure.
Okay. You're good.
I'm good now. I'm good.
All right. That's good to hear. The book is called Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rockstar. That comes out Tuesday, September 18th. And again, the Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rockstar soundtrack comes out today.
Yes.
So you can buy that. The single is called Life is Beautiful.
And I want to remind everybody again that 25% of the book royalties will benefit Running Wild in the Night, which is a great idea to put music in the Covenant House Los Angeles, which is an outstanding charity. And you can get to all of this information and more about Nikki Sixx at nikki6.net. Great to see you again, man. Thank you so much for stopping by the Kevin Mead Show.
Thank you guys, man.
By the way, people are marveling around the halls that Nikki Sixx, who's older than all of us, looks way better than all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And was a heroin addict. Yeah. How is that possible? How does that work? What's
seems
that deal
unfair
with the devil?
I'll tell you
I think
that.
Heroin preserves you. I think that's what we've determined.
It must be.
Especially after he shouted at the devil for all those years. How did he then make a deal with the devil?
How do you do it? Oh, let's talk about China for a minute. On Wednesday of last week, the government issued new regulations that prohibit, quote, false news and illegal TV coverage.
Really?
What happened was there was a TV journalist who apparently, according to the government, which controls everything in China, he fabricated a report last month about cardboard being used for steamed buns.
Mm-hmm.
They put
uh-huh.
cardboard in them and they called it false and they put him in prison for a year.
Really?
And then they said nobody in the media can ever cover a negative story anymore. Nothing negative, only positive.
So no matter what goes on, and by the way, part of this is because the Olympics now are less than 1 year from now. So they're going to have an awful lot of international scrutiny going on for next August. And they just want to make sure that all the news is rosy. So we thought we got to find out more about what this story is. Like what's allowed, what's not allowed, what can we expect as we hear so much more about China in the next 12 months. Who's on the line with us?
I don't know. We have a Chinese government official. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
My name is Hung Lo Wang.
Hung Lo Wang.
Hung Lo Wang.
Yay.
All right.
Okay.
I am Minister of Information.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good.
That's fantastic. Okay, so is this story accurate? No more bad news is allowed on Chinese television?
No, that's not it at all. We're just reporting real news, not the
real
false news.
But what about in this article from London's Guardian newspaper, it says there was a bridge collapse in your country that killed 41 people last week. Most Chinese residents will never know that it happened because you do not allow that to be broadcast on television.
At all.
What happened?
The 41 people built a bridge that there wasn't one before, and everyone got across the river and everyone had a party.
Really?
Yeah,
it says
a
here
big
the
bridge making party.
It says here that the bridge collapsed in southern China, killed 41 reporters, said local officials punched them and chased them from the scene.
No, that's in it. We are patting them on the back for the good work they do.
I see.
We give them hard pat on back, hard.
I see.
Yeah, very hard. All right. What about all of the traffic, the horrendous traffic jams and the air pollution that it causes in your cities? They're not allowed to talk about that either?
No, there's no traffic in our cities.
What do you mean there's no traffic?
You have a billion people. How can there not be any traffic?
Everyone walks.
Everyone walks.
Or goes on unicycle.
It says in our article that interviews with inconvenienced computers or images of overcrowded buses are forbidden. You can't even talk to people who got stuck in traffic.
Well, no, because no one gets stuck in traffic unless it's to stop and look up and say, look at the beautiful clear sky with no pollution in it and the happy birds flying. Wow. Then everyone kind of stops there for a minute just to pause, and then everyone smiles and goes back to unicycling.
Does everyone unicycle?
Most people, yeah. Okay.
What about all the food and product safety stories that have been coming out of China?
Our food is delicious. You love it. We have some wonderful steamed dumplings filled with cardboard that you love.
That's what we hear. We hear, you know, you got the dog food thing. What about that? They're not allowed to report on that?
Dog food's good. It makes big, strong dogs.
Okay. No, it actually kills the dogs. It actually makes the dogs sick, and then they die is what happens.
No, they're sleeping. They're so good, they go, oh, I have a full belly. I'm going to take a nap.
What about they just sleep.
What about all the toys that have been coming out of China that have been recalled?
Our toys are fun. We have great toys.
What, they've been recalled because of lead in the paint and whatnot?
They've been recalled, no, because they're too much fun.
Oh.
Children are playing with them and having so much joy that they get sick with happiness.
Oh, sick with happiness.
Wow. Yes. Oh, my God, this toy is so fun. I'm going to have my head explode. So we have to come back and bring them less fun toy and give them other ones.
I see.
Now, just this morning in the news, there's a story about pajamas being recalled because they have poison in them. What about that?
No. They're recalled because you sleep too well in them. Sometimes you put those pajamas on, you lay down and say, I never want to wake up. I want to sleep forever.
That's the point, is that sometimes you don't wake up. That's the problem.
That's
with the poison
BJs. The pajamas are too good. They make you sleep forever. They're so comfortable, you never want to get out of bed.
How do you run a country that has that many people with no bad stories?
Just lucky, I guess.
Maybe. All right, here we go.
Bean?
Check it out.
Bean, we're on the air.
All right.
Bean?
Good times.
Come on. Dude, we're on the air. What are you doing?
It's 8:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is here with the Hayden Panettiere birthday celebration.
Finally got it right.
Okay, we got it. We got it, Ralph. It's established. The cheerleader from Heroes is 18. We got it.
Ralph.
Congratulations. Okay. Good times. Ralph, come back to us. Come back to us. Ralph.
Happy H Day, everybody.
H Day, we're calling it.
Hayden Panettiere, officially 18 years old today. We wish her all the best.
Doing something with Excuse cows? Me.
Those aren't cows.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just the best. She's lovely. She's beautiful. She's talented.
Yeah.
She's creamy.
Oh. She's creamy?
Her skin is creamy. Hmm. She was on Letterman last night. I kept looking at her legs. And there's this creamy tan color. Usually you have to get like a cup of hot chocolate to see something that rich and creamy and hot. That's what I'm... You know what I'm saying?
Out of your freaking mind.
I bet if you lick her, she tastes like caramel. Or caramel.
Right.
Caramel, probably, more than caramel.
One of the other.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's the difference between caramel and caramel, by the way?
Stupid I don't know.
Stupid pronunciation? Yeah. They're not different foodstuffs?
No.
I don't think so. Anyway, on Letterman last night, Letterman asked her what her plans were for her 18th birthday, and here's what she had to say.
What will you do on your 18th birthday?
I'm going to have a lot of sex with my new boyfriend, Ralph.
I think it's my biggest
penis I've ever had.
Wow. Whoa. I am flattered.
Hold on a sec.
I am flattered and honored, but please, Hayden, I'm a married man. I can't possibly.
That was clearly edited, Ralph. That wasn't her voice saying any of that.
Oh, paparazzi needs to move on. Well, we do have time for Letterman's follow-up question, which I was equally stunned by.
Hayden, a lot of women have complained about the giant size of Ralph's penis. What do you think about it?
It's cute.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Doesn't bother her.
You didn't even
doesn't
try
bother her,
to
doesn't
sound
bother
like
me.
Letterman. It was just you.
Me? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't do Letterman.
No, you don't. But I'm saying this voice.
That was, Hayden, a lot of women have complained.
That's
David
you.
Letterman last night on his show.
All right.
Look,
you're just saying that's you.
You think CBS is a big lying company? That's on
no,
you, Kevin.
I think you're
Kevin
a liar.
Ryder, who works for CBS Radio. You think CBS is filled with liars and they put lies on television? That's your issues with
liars.
It's not good for New York.
It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world. So, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
Kevin Ryder is the problem with Les Moonves. It's not me. That's all I'm saying. If Kevin Ryder hates Sumner Redstone, that's one thing, but not me.
Liars.
Believe everything they say.
What is the CBS policy? Is that word bleeped or not?
You can say virtually anything.
Okay.
Hey, do flies sleep? I don't know.
Total aside, info bean.
Total aside from the showbiz story.
They only live a few days, so maybe they don't.
Because I was thinking, I don't know what's going on with the hot, hot summer, but apparently just a huge amount of flies.
I've noticed it.
Just enormous amount of flies around my house.
Right.
And all day long, they're just bugging me, bugging the crap out of me.
Right.
But I go outside to have a smoke last night, and the evenings are remarkably fly-free when you think about it. I don't see the flies buzzing around the house. I don't see them buzzing around outside. Where do the flies go at night?
That's that info bean.
Are they sleeping? Are they napping?
I really don't
know. Do they go someplace else?
Yeah, Ralph. They go to another part of the country.
They
haul ass, you know?
They haul ass to another time zone.
The world. Yeah. Chasing, are they constantly chasing the sun? That's what I'm asking.
What you're saying is maybe in Houston, they have lots of flies at night, none during the day, because they're all out here.
That's right. Maybe they work in shifts.
Good theory, Ralph.
Maybe they work in shifts, those flies.
Showbiz?
You know what, Kevin? I can't just limit myself to one small slice of the pie. I have a vast series of interests.
No, you're turning it into bean now.
I have a giant mind that needs many, many facts.
Yeah.
It's not all about Paris Hilton, man.
Right, but
there's other questions in the world.
But this segment of the show is showbiz.
I'm sorry. I'm just giddy because it's H-Day.
Officially.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
H-Day!
Hey, are you a mentalist?
The hell?
That's a good delivery. Well, then you should be on the new Mentalist reality show called Phenomenon, hosted by Chris Angel and Yuri Geller.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Yes, NBC has got a new TV show that is dedicating itself to the search for the next great mentalist. Is this a question we've all been pondering here? Are we desperate to find another mentalist?
No.
The auditions are Monday, the 27th of August, at the Tribune Studios, which is Channel 5, there on Sunset Boulevard, 5800 Sunset Boulevard, Building 11. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., they will be looking for competitors to battle and demonstrate their wide spectrum of mystifying talents to see who will be the next great mentalist. Yuri Geller and Chris Angel will be the hosts and judges. Phenomenon.
Yeah!
You want to hear the theme to this show, Phenomenon?
Is there one?
Phenomenon. Do, 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 do. Phenomenon. Do, 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 do.
Yeah!
Thank you, Chris Aaron Tacos.
Ralph, you're just giddy today.
I am.
All from H-Day, is that why?
I didn't get much sleep last night, and it's H-Day, so you put those two together. And
are you drinking?
All hell breaks loose. I wish.
All right.
Man, I'm high on life. Me and Nikki Six were just talking about how beautiful life is without drugs.
Where did the flies go?
I don't know what kind of drugs he was doing, but I haven't found that to be the case.
I'm
a lot more beautiful when I'm on drugs.
I have to be honest, I don't even recognize you today.
Where do the flies go?
That's all he's saying.
Do you see flies at night? Let me ask you, have you ever seen flies at night?
I'm saying we already have that position taken. Guy who likes to talk about meaningless stuff.
This isn't meaningless. This is a big issue. Flies are a part of our lives. Where do they go at night?
All right.
Shut the hell up.
Happy H.
Do we need
everybody
to open up the phones? Do we need to dedicate the next segment to what happens to the flies at night?
If anyone knows.
Game. If it will answer the question and make Ralph happy,
we're not going to do a call-in topic on where do the flies go.
If anyone knows where the flies go, I would like to know.
Lisa's panty drawer.
Oh, my. Come on. That's bad
well,
even.
Shame on you.
That's bad even for you. Buzzkill.
That's funny.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
They're going to make a movie about the life of Tammy Faye Baker.
Shut up, Mike. You can't laugh at your own stuff.
He can't stop laughing
at
his own
stuff.
That's the truth.
They are currently looking for an actress to play Tammy Faye, slap on the makeup, and play her life story. I don't think everyone who dies who's remotely famous automatically deserves a biopic.
Yeah, that's true.
Tammy Faye, yeah. You know. I guess sort of an interesting life.
Her life might be kind of interesting.
Maybe
you know
for
who would be
TV
great for that
movie.
Role?
Maybe a TV movie.
Yeah.
Not a feature
film. TV movie.
Who would be great for that role?
Amy Sedaris.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Oh, she would be good.
Could do that.
Yeah.
The highlight of her life probably was winning that bagging groceries competition with me as her partner. Probably the highlight of her life, Tammy Faye.
I didn't even know you were in a bagging grocery competition with Tammy Faye Baker.
I was. She was my partner.
What?
Yeah, Bean had the gay dude. It was his partner. Who was your partner, Bean?
All right, for a brief time, Tammy Faye had a daytime talk show with Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock, the guy from Too Close for Comfort.
Right.
Yeah, with Ted
so
Knight.
Somehow, Kevin and Bean were invited on the show as guests, and one of the things that we were asked to do was be in a speed bagging competition, and I was paired with Jim J. Bullock, and Kevin had Tammy Faye as his partner.
Do we say no to nothing? Have we ever said no to an idea?
If it's called speed bagging, by the way, I'd like to know.
Is that an X game or sex game?
I just remember reaching over and grabbing her hand and putting it up like, whoa!
And I just thought, what am I doing?
We were both impressed by what a nice lady Tammy Faye was. She was very, very kind, very sweet. And we had actually had a good time. I wish we still had the tape. I don't think we do.
But. Oh, if anyone could get me their hands on that tape for me, I'd give a year's salary
the worst
to see Kevin
ever.
And Bean bagging groceries with Jim J. Bullock and Tammy Faye Baker.
It does sound like a Mad Libs, doesn't it?
It sounds like what they show on the Hell Network.
There's nothing we've ever said no to, is there? That has to be below some line.
When you die, you go to hell. This is what they show you on television. Oh, man.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now. Check-out time is never.
How hard up were they for guests,
by the way? No kidding.
Hey, we did Kilbourne's show as guests, too, by the way.
I remember that. That was reasonable. You didn't bag any groceries.
No.
Oh, but you did play that stupid game with Jesus. I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Plinko, whatever it was.
I'd rather not talk about all that stuff.
No answer, Ralph, to why the fly is this
See?
Good, man. I'm sorry. Our listeners are bankrupt.
Maybe I have opened up a scientific study here that needs to be looked at. Maybe entomologists have never addressed this one particular issue.
That's the Showbiz Beat. I'm Ralph Garman.
Oh, why do you try to muzzle me in my genius?
Because your genius is the same as Beans today. That's why.
We are out of time, aren't we?
Yes.
All right, real quick.
Yes.
Celebrity birthdays. Did I mention Hayden Panettiere celebrates her 18th
birthday?
How about that? Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix. She's 37 years old today. Actress Alicia Vitt is 32. She was in Sybil. She played her daughter on that show. I believe she was also in Mr. Holland's Opus. She was real good in that. 32
years
old.
And she's on The Sopranos one week, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was.
Beautiful girl.
Serge Tankian from System of a Down.
Glendale!
Is 40 years old today. My Psycho Mike has like three jobs.
He's over here looking for the clip on YouTube. That's what he's doing right now.
What clip? Oh, looking for Jim J. Bullock bagging groceries. And Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City turns 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I was just out by the phone screeners here at K-Rock, and I heard Beer Mug, our intern, say, K-Rock, where do the flies go at night?
What?
So, never thought I'd hear.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. You are listening for Misery Business by Paramore to play when you hear me call her 20. Win your tickets to the L.A. Invasion. Ralph, for folks who are so lucky that they're just now tuning in and they missed the last 20 minutes,
look,
why are we talking about Where the Flies Go at Night?
You mock me, but I think other people have had this thought, especially this summer where it seems like the population of flies is just enormous, more so than usual. For some reason, just been a plethora of flies buzzing around my house and outside, I've noticed, during the day. And when I go out at night, last night I'm outside having a smoke, and I realize, wow, I'm not being bugged by the flies. They're not all over the place. I don't see them in the house, up against the windows or on the screens. Where do the flies go at night?
See, that's the difference between you and me is I just end with, fantastic, they're not here.
Right,
but
then I thought,
to ask.
All day long, scores of flies everywhere. At night, not one fly to be seen. Do flies sleep? Where do they go at night? What happens to the flies at night? I wondered out loud earlier today on the show.
All right, let's say good morning to Rudy in Ventura. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Rudy.
Rudy, you have an answer for me? Where do the flies go?
Insects are cold-blooded animals, and flies being insects, they don't when they don't have the heat from the sun, they just kind of go into this vegetative retard state in the bushes or in other vertical surfaces and just kind of sleep there.
So you say flies are retarded. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, well, they're not really... But they're not really doing anything. They're just
okay.
Waiting
so until it heats up,
energy.
They don't start going around and bugging people.
Negative. No.
So they just hang out someplace during the night and just wait for the sun to come back up.
Yeah, that's what they do. And because it's so hot, that's why you've seen so many more flies. It's warmer summer than past years.
Oh, and that I got it.
Let me ask you this. What if you have flies in your home? If you just wait till nighttime, if they can't get out, if you just wait till nighttime, can you just go and just like pick them off one by one because they're all kind of sleeping on the windows and stuff?
Yeah, you could if you could find them.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, we got a biologist on the phone. Michelle is on line three. Maybe she can add to that. It's Kevin and Bean, Sean Kerouac. Hey, Michelle.
Hi there.
Hi.
All right, you're a biologist.
I am.
Is what the last guy told us correct?
Yeah, from what I heard, because I was on hold. But yeah, for the most part, they're ectotherms, so their body temperature is the same as the outside temperature. So when it gets colder, they kind of go into a sense of stasis.
Uh-huh.
And so you could pick them up. I mean, they're still alert. I mean, it's not freezing outside.
Right.
But you could catch them quicker in colder temperatures than in warmer temperatures.
Okay.
So it's a self-defense sort of mechanism where they hibernate or they disappear at night?
It's not a self-defense mechanism. It's just that they have no ability to create their own body temperature like you do. You spend a significant amount of what you eat just keeping warm, staying at 98.7 degrees. Flies are the same temperature as it is outside. So if it's warm, they're really warm, and so all of their enzymes and all of their physiology is working at maximum capacity. When it starts to cool off, just by the nature of the cooling, they start to slow down.
They get sluggish.
Gotcha. And do we have more because it's hot, like the last guy said?
Well, yeah, it's one because it's hot, but more importantly, it's because it's dry. We haven't had any rain. And so because there's been no rain, there's a lot of dead debris around, which means there's a lot of fly food. If there's
Excellent.
A lot of fly food, then they reproduce a lot. And so that's why you're seeing this huge amount. That's why the next big rain is going to just, one, do two things. One, it's going to stamp them down because they're going to get wet and they're going to fall to the ground and get wet. If their respiratory structures on the side of their body get damp, then and totally soaked, then they're going to suffocate and they'll die.
Sweet.
The other thing is it will kill a lot of their larvae and their eggs because
sure.
all that water is not good for them.
Yeah. I have a question. Just how long have we been talking about flies?
Well, it is kind of interesting.
Look,
Michelle,
you'll never again wonder why there are no flies at night, Kevin. Never
we never
again.
Wondered about it before,
not,
Ralph.
You'll never have time. To stay up at night worrying, thinking
it.
About that question, pondering the answer.
Never thought of it one time.
Let me ask Michelle one other thing, and then or two other things. How long do flies live, and do they sleep?
Sleeping is a very human kind of quality. So sleep is, do they rest? Yes. Do they sleep and dream and roll over? No.
Okay.
And the other question, I'm sorry?
How long do they live?
It depends on the fly species. Some live a day. Like there are flies in all over Africa that do their entire life cycle in an entire day. Some others last much longer. So it depends on the species.
How about the average house fly? How long does that live?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to say, but I think it's a couple of days. It's not really long, but they have a humongously reproductive cycle. So they're reproduced. I mean, basically, once they get to be a fly, their whole purpose is to go find a mate and make more eggs, make more maggots, and then that's it.
Good time.
So if you only live...
land on my face while I'm trying to watch television. It seems very odd.
If you only live a day, how many times do you bang in that one day to make new flies?
One.
One time.
Oh, just one.
Bang
the once, huh?
That's not much of a life, is it?
Once in a life. It's like Dave the King of Mexico.
Michelle,
exactly.
Michelle, I have a question. Are we still talking about flies?
Kevin, have you no sense of curiosity about the
world? Here's
the
only thing that I'm curious about. Is it true that they throw up every time they land on you? Or poop or whatever. I can't
throw up, again, is a very colloquialism. But really what they do is, in order for them to eat, their food has to be in a fairly liquid state. So what they do is they spit their saliva that's full of enzymes on your food. It digests that food a little bit, and then they slurp up what they've spit and collected some of your food.
So every time a fly lands on me, it's spitting on me.
Well, no.
Because they're not eating you, but they're eating
them. First, what flies do is you'll notice that when they're flying around, they fly and they kind of touch down and then they fly away.
Yeah.
What they're literally doing is they have sensors on their legs that allow them to taste what they've landed on. This is why they'll typically land on something and then they leave and then they come back and they really want to be there because they recognize that what they've landed on is really good tasting.
Gotcha.
So
it's hard to get
why,
them off your salmon spread.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why once they land on your food, you're screwed.
Because they're spitting all over it.
They're spitting.
And they're coming back because their legs like what they taste.
They got a little taste of it, and they want more.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, Michelle.
You're a smart broad, Michelle. Thanks.
Well, you know, I teach at the community colleges, so I try to be.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey, hold on. If we got a Kevin and Bean t-shirt, we're going to hook you up with one. If not, we'll give you some Afrocentric porn, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Can we put that one to rest
there
now?
There you go.
Flies, now we know.
Flies get sluggish in the evening, so they stay in one place and they're not buzzing all around the place.
Okay.
Michelle is so smart, yet she couldn't save poor Jeff Goldblum's life. I mean, that's what's really sad about it when you think about it, you know?
Wow, reaching back 25 years for a movie.
That's the way to go out. That's a good way to end this break.
Look, Ryan Seacrest has plenty of work. He does his own morning show over there on Kiss FM. He does the weekly Top 40 show. He fills in for Larry King. He does a show on the E! Network. A few days ago, it was announced that he is going to be doing some pre- and halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl. And then just yesterday, it was announced that he's going to be not just the guy on the red carpet interviewing for the arrivals like usual. He's going to be hosting the Emmy Awards, which are going to be September 16th, the primetime Emmys. Not everybody is pleased about this new news, including his friend Paula Abdul from American Idol, who joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Paula.
Hi, human being.
How are you?
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, we understand that you wanted to talk to us because you heard the news about Ryan Seacrest and the Emmys.
Yes. I love Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He has a beautiful essence. Uh-huh. But I would like to have some jobs too.
Right. You're on American Idol as well.
Yes, and I've been on American Idol as much as he has.
Right.
And
right.
Simon has his thing with them. America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Jackson is... Well, never mind him. But
he's a musician.
But Ryan! Mm-hmm. Ryan!
He gets all the jobs,
Ryan
is what you're saying.
And I would like to have him the job.
Well, Paula, you did have your show on Bravo.
Yeah.
It's just them following me around with cameras.
That's what that was, yeah.
It's not a job.
I see.
Like, I could host the Emmys.
No, Paula, you can't, really.
I can host them.
I don't think you'd be very good at it, though, because
of
this.
And now, here's Eva Longoria.
Right, but you sound a little...
I can do that.
Right, but you appear to be overserved most of the time, and I think that's their... What's going on there, Paula? What are you doing?
She's clapping.
She's clapping.
I love television. I could be a host for it. I could... And now, the nominees for Best Comedy. The Munsters.
Munsters?
I Love Lucy.
Those shows aren't on the air anymore. They wouldn't be eligible for Emmys at all.
The Sopranos and...
Paula?
World's Most Dangerous Jobs.
Okay. Paula, you don't sound like you're together enough to be out in public, much less up on stage in front of a worldwide television audience.
Hold on a second. Fresh air!
As little as we'd like to see Ryan hosting it, I think that perhaps you'd be even worse at it. Which I would like. I mean, I would enjoy that.
Now I'm angry.
Really? Now you're angry?
How can you say that? I would be so supportive of everyone who was nominated. If they didn't win, I'd say, you still have a big career ahead of you. You're a star. You're a star.
You tell them that?
Yes. And then they'd feel better. And then I could sleep with the young ones.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. What, Paula?
Nothing. What? Whoa. Where am I? Whose house is this? Holy crap.
Hey guys.
Happy H Day.
H Day.
It's our H Day party.
We know it's Hayden Panettiere's 18th birthday.
Yes, it is.
Yes. It's time to take your phone calls too.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Got a great prize today for everybody who's not Ralph Garman. It's a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Galaxy take on Real Salt Lake Saturday, September 1st at the Home Depot Center. You know David Beckham's on that team now. I don't know if you guys heard that or not.
Yep. No, I didn't. Turns out.
Yeah, playing for the Galaxy. September 1st at 7:30 at the Home Depot Center. The first 5,000 fans in attendance, by the way, receive a Galaxy lunchbox. Call 1-877-3-GALAXY or visit LAGalaxy.com to get your tickets.
All right, let's begin with Liz in El Monte. Good morning, Liz.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Liz?
What's going on?
I seen Lisa May's boyfriend on Thursday. I was at the free concert on the pier in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And I seen Brandon Boyd.
Ooh, Brandon. Oh.
Is he hot or what?
He is smoking hot.
What was he doing? What were you doing?
I was getting money for a charity that I work with at, with my job. And Brandon Boyd was riding his bike. And I was like, there's no way in hell that's Brandon Boyd. And it was. I went and I asked him to take a picture. And then I hit him up for money.
Nice.
But he didn't have any.
Hey, take a picture with me and give me some cash.
Yeah. I was like, can I take a picture? And then I was like,
more
so
of a
do you want to... he didn't want to take a pic. He didn't want to give any money up. He said he doesn't have any. I was like, you're a musician. You have to have money.
Yeah, a lot of these guys don't have cash on them, though.
No, they have business managers who handle that for them.
Yeah.
Liz, you do sound more like a mugger than you do a fan. I got to be honest.
Like a hooker. Are you kidding me? Mugger.
Maybe that's what he was afraid of.
Well, he is, he's a good dude, Brandon Boyd. That's awesome that you met him. Let's talk to Tara, who is in Inglewood on line four. You know what I hear about Inglewood, you guys?
Always up to no good.
That's what I hear. Yeah. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
What's going on, sister?
Good morning, angels.
Good morning.
Okay. I woke up when you guys said that there was a caller who said that the bionic woman should be black.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? What reason?
She's a black TV writer for TV Guide magazine, and she thinks that more of these characters, especially the ones where they revamp the series, they make a new version of a TV series, they need to be African-American
characters. Oh, was she volunteering for the role?
I don't know.
No, she had some ideas for some black actresses who would be good in that role. She said they should have cast them instead.
Could we, like, drown her?
Yes. Hey, yes.
We're in agreement on that. Good.
Look, maybe she thought it was the Ebonic woman that was going to be on NBC, and that's why she thought she'd be black.
Could be.
That could be it. Woman.
That should be then.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All right. Thank you, Tara, for the call.
Thank you, Tara.
Bye. Maybe she's just trying to get people to not automatically, when they're casting a new series, to not automatically in their mind's eye think this character is white because they're white. I mean, I understand what her point is, but to single out any one particular character saying that character should be black just because, that doesn't make any sense.
That should be really annoying to those people who still do have a problem with race relations and other problems in this country.
Yeah. That's where she's drawing the line in the sand is the bionic woman.
Seriously. I mean, aren't there other problems? Yeah. Christina in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What'd it do?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Christina.
Okay, so I just found out that some dude in the UK got arrested and put in jail for robbing a bank with his girlfriend's vibrator.
Yeah, I heard that too.
True story.
You mean he made it look like a gun or something?
Yep, he covered it up and made it look like a gun, and now he's being charged with 5 years, and the judge was like, basically, there's no right to record you for no firearm, so they only gave him 5 years instead of seven.
I gotcha. For using a vibrator.
It is multi-purpose.
Yeah, and it's like the rabbit vibrator, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh.
I can see that.
That's Lisa's favorite. Personally endorses that one.
Most lethal of all vibrators. Lisa, we don't have time to start. We don't have time for you to start your...
Just a minute. Just 1 second. We have time for flies.
What is that? What are you doing now? Sounds like a vacuum. All right. Hey, guys.
Hey, don't talk to me. Talk to Lisa.
We might...
Now what?
We might be a little heavy on the sound effects.
Lisa, that looks like it would scar you. Jeez.
Oh, so much better.
What?
Wow. It went off.
What's going on? Exploded. All right, let's go to Matt in Manhattan. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
Hi, Matt.
Well, I got a Bear Grylls story.
Faker!
he parachutes into everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's all these shots of him parachuting, and then he lands. Well, they cut to, like, a low-angle shot of him landing on the snow. And as you see him land, you see the strings of the parachute aren't even tight. And so basically what he did was jumped in the air and, like, did a little tumble roll and is, like, all out of breath, pretending to be out of breath, going, oh, that was the most incredible landing I've ever had.
Do you know that for a fact, or are you just, like, guessing?
No, I had it on TiVo. And, you know, I slowed it down and watched each frame. And, I mean, when you land in a parachute, the strings are tight, right?
Yeah, you would think.
You're being suspended.
Of course,
it,
sure, yeah.
Well, these were all just hanging all loose behind him. So he just basically jumped in the air, and they rolled camera.
He jumped off a stepladder.
Yeah, and he, like, landed up, jumped into a snowbank. So it looked like he was, like, on, like, a peak of a mountain. You know
when
in.
You're parachuting in, it's hard to know exactly where you're going to land. So
it's
it would
true.
Be pretty
Where's
amazing
the, camera
the cameras are right there.
Yeah, and his face is laying in the snow, and his, like, face is right by the camera, you know, like, perfectly.
Yeah.
And, like, all out of breath.
The more we know about him, the bigger liar he becomes.
Oh, it really
so
seems
sad.
Like it. The show's Man vs. Wild, and I used to like it, but if everything's fake, it doesn't seem so good.
Well,
he's not even
now
British,
maybe.
By the way.
He's not even
from
Brooklyn.
He talks like this ordinarily.
I don't think that part's true, Al. But he did have he was extremely modest about his accomplishments when he was in, and maybe now we know why.
Liars.
Yes,
yeah, well,
right.
Thank you, Rodney. All right, I want to thank you very much for those calls. That was a good batch of What It Do calls here this morning. I want to thank our special guest, Nikki Six, for stopping by from the band Motley Crue. He's got a new album out today called Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rock Star. It's actually a soundtrack to a book that's coming out on September the 18th. That's the same title, Heroin Diaries. And you can get that information about it and the charities it supports at NikkiSix.net.
Today we went on and on about Blu-ray and HD DVD, and we, I think, came up with more questions than answers. So tomorrow we're going to have somebody, CNN business and tech correspondent, that's going to tell us about the difference between the two and which companies are aligned behind which ones and who's going to win the battle and the whole deal.
Good.
You know what's weird is you never see a Blu-ray player at night. I don't know why that is, but they're always around during the day, and then at night they're gone. I don't know if they're sleeping or they're just cold-blooded or what.
Another crappy conversation we had today.
And why are mosquitoes so active at night and yet not so much during the day?
Also tomorrow morning, Jason Statham.
Is another good question.
He's got a new movie out coming Friday called War. Very excited about
what
that.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 19, tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Cesar Millan, The Dog Whisperer, tomorrow.
My hero.
How about that?
Cesar, what are you going to be talking to us about tomorrow?
I will not really be talking to you. I will be having a conversation. You are lucky enough to listen to me.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. So that's tomorrow morning. And Captain Dan the Demon Dwarf on the program tomorrow.
What? What is that?
What the hell is that?
It's a dwarf that got his penis stuck in a vacuum. It's a very confusing story, but we'll explain it tomorrow.
Harvey Levin. Confusing. You just summed it up pretty much right there.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com tomorrow, and K-Rock's LA Invasion tickets also tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Harvey is sure happy to get second billing, by the way, to Captain Dan the Dwarf. I'll tell you that.
The Demon Dwarf.
Sorry. Let me tell you about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music coming up with our friend Kat Corbett. It not only includes The Living End, Linkin Park, Nirvana, Social D, and Queens of the Stone Age. How about brand new stuff from Beck today? She's going to be premiering a new song from Beck. That's called Time Bomb. All of that straight ahead right here on K-Rock.